From the President's office in the White House in Washington, D.C., we present an address by the President of the United States, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
In holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
Saturday, August 22nd, 2020. Thank you for joining me today on this Saturday. Wasn't planning on doing a show today, in fact, but there was some things that I just had to get out to you that you probably have seen yourselves, but I wanted to make sure this was seen and recognized as reality, because so we just talked about the weird downvote situation yesterday, which, note again, you'll probably see most of those gone by the end of the show, which should tell you something. But even if they're not, it's funny how you can see so many people already coming out and, you know, no, bad, bad, it's not true, because they don't want it to be, even though this is in fact happening. Right now, we are seeing Virginia say that they are planning on mandating the vaccine, and right now arguing about even the exemptions and the possibility of religious exemptions and so on. Pretty alarming stuff, as well as a few other factors we're going to get into today, and a lot of foreign policy at the end that ties in with a lot of this. Same, more stuff in regard to Israel and Gaza, but an interesting thing in regard to a coup taking place in Mali, which we haven't touched on. Guess what? He was trained by the U.S. government. Big surprise. I mean, it's almost incredible that this continues to happen. But I want to begin with a couple of quick notes, as we have been, you know, because become common, I guess, on this show. Get important things for you guys to see. One, this one that I wanted to make sure and shout out, that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., which is, I think he said in other places, by the way, but on this interview with Ron Paul Institute, openly says that he feels the CIA killed his father. I mean, it's just incredible where we are right now. That this is, I mean, there are people like Ron Paul, Daniel McAdams, like very, very highly respected, well-educated, whether, you know, pundits or, you know, Ron Paul is a physician himself. He's also a politician. I mean, it's incredible that we can have this kind of stuff, let alone coming from Robert F. Kennedy himself, going over the story. And when you hear the reality, which, by the way, if you've read the books, which I recommend you do, there's some really great ones I can recommend on this topic in and of itself. Reach out to me. I'll let you know the different things that I think on this. But the point being that the story is clear, that our government took it upon themselves in one way or another, whether it's a faction of it or it came from the top, to assassinate people in Kennedy's family, because of whether that was in regard to the Vietnam War or much more deep, nefarious things that we could get into. Regardless, it's interesting to see that he's outright telling us that right now, and we should definitely let that reflect on where we are. The problem, and I think this is exactly why they did this. Right now, you've got one faction of the two-party paradigm, the two-party illusion, who are convinced that whether, despite them doing the exact same things, towing the line like every other one before, that somehow this one administration is different than anything else before it. So even if you can make the reference of CIA and our government and things they've covered up, it's okay, because that's not the same group. It's the same group. It's the same government. The same people. As made clear by all of the PNAC, neocon, globalist, all the same people from all of the same walks before this, packed in there right now. Nonetheless, he also touches on, or in addition, he also touches on imperialism, vaccines, and a bunch more. Really fantastic interview. But I just found that incredibly interesting to where we are now. We need to understand what our government is. As Americans, like, you have an obligation as an American, if you truly believe in the tenets of this country, if you truly believe in what we pretend we are, you have an obligation to do something about it, to say something, to not toe the line and pretend like it's American to not point out that they're murderers. It's incredible. But also, I wanted to make sure I pointed this out as well to get it on the record. You guys might find it really, really revealing. And maybe other people can let me know right now if they've been seeing the same thing. But just today, I woke up to two videos that were put on private, forced on private, and that they're forcing me to go through some rigmarole policy, you know, to go through some kind of appeal process. Only one time, as you can see, I only get one opportunity to guess at what they're pointing out and to guess at how I'm appealing it. Lovely process they have. But realize it's about the New Zealand shooting, the Christchurch shooting. Why now? Two of them, mind you. This one involves Israel as well, but you'll see the other one is only about the Christchurch shooting. Now, what they're saying is, please remove footage filmed by the perpetrator during a deadly or major event in which weapons, violence, or injured victims are visible or audible. There are no exceptions for this policy, they say. Here is the video we're talking about, right? Here's the clip I show. This is the only thing. No video, nothing. It's the only image of anything related to this. The rest, as you can see, is me talking. Or other clips of other articles that were up, things like this, where it says 8 thoughts on Christchurch attack as YouTube freezes their video. Just fantastic outlet they are today. Killing it. For all those people, by the way, who somehow weirdly think that I'm focused on YouTube, right now I'm broadcasting on 4 or 5 other platforms. Right? Understand that this is, we are going to YouTube in addition to everything else. It's only the fact that YouTube has the most people that makes them feel like we're focusing there. If YouTube removes me tomorrow, which I feel like they're already going to do, it won't change anything that I'm doing. I will keep doing exactly what I'm doing, and YouTube is just one of many things that I put my content on, right? I mean, I think YouTube is dead, despite the fact that they're completely controlled and propped up by our own power structure, by the government, by the very same people. Look, it is still not loading. How pathetic. I just find, it's just ridiculous that this is anyway, the point is, if you can see the video, if it even just finally decides to load, it's just me talking. There's only one shot of one thing, which is that, which I showed you. That one thing. The rest of the half is Israel. Okay, so that is it. So because I showed a tweet of an image of this gun that was used during the shooting, they're literally removing my video, or rather not allowing it to be seen. And here's another one. Same thing. Just about Christchurch. Please remove footage filmed by the... None of it is on there. Not a single piece of anything he filmed are on these videos. But that's what they're claiming. But let's not pretend like, we know what they're doing. YouTube is a fraudulent organization that is lying for politics, pandering to the oligarchy. And I hope you're listening, YouTube, because it's pathetic. It is absolutely pathetic how you are pandering to a power structure at the expense of your users. You should be ashamed of yourself. But here's the other one, right? Another, it's a post from Zero Hedge. That's it. That is the only thing. And you go through here, you'll not find any video. You won't find anything talking about what they're claiming. But here's the interesting point of this. I just wanted to make that clear that they're censoring these. Why the Christchurch shooting now? I don't know. You tell me. But also recognize this. Well, what's this? What do we have here? Oh, that's CBC News. Oh, here's another shot of the exact gun that I just showed on ITV News. Well, it's on YouTube. I guess they just don't care when it's on mainstream media. Well, here's a more specific example of literally CBC News as they show clips, video, captions. I mean, you name it. So understand that YouTube is willing to say, okay, well, you can't talk about it. You can't show clips of it. You can't show images of it. And as they'll want you to believe, as they say right here, well, there are no exceptions for this policy, they say. No exceptions for the policy, even if there's an educational documentary, scientific or artistic content in your content. Okay, except in its mainstream media. Not to belabor the point. But I need you, especially for those out there that don't, who are new to this. Do you not realize how incredible that is? My opinion, they're just building a case to remove my channel. They're picking up old random things and they're making claims about it, even though it's been there for years, even though it doesn't actually violate anything. I mean, please remember, for those new to the channel, they literally just put me on a 7-day suspension for impersonating the last American vagabond. Let that sink in. I am the last American vagabond, in case that wasn't clear. And they put me on a 7-day suspension for impersonating myself. No, there was no way to challenge it. No appeal process. They're unaccountable, period. That's why they're doing this now. So I'm awaiting for you. I can't wait to see you censor this 5 million view video here about the same thing that I was just talking about. It is truly pathetic. And what it is it's embarrassing, right? I mean, they know. That's what you need to see by this. They know that they're doing something that's not accurate. Whether they, in their minds, tell themselves they're lying for their truth, which is such an important thing we need to continue to recognize, whether they're doing something wrong because they believe it's for a better, something good, like that shouldn't be there and we know it shouldn't, but we're going to lie because there's no real reason we can remove it, so they're going to lie. But point is, they know that they're fraudulent. They know. At some level, they know that they're lying. And you need to see that, which means they're never going to change unless you make them or make them irrelevant, which is what we need to be doing, because they are irrelevant. The only reason they're relevant is because we give them relevance. If people woke up tomorrow and just started using DLive, started using something else, BitChute, Rockfin, they would die. The government would prop it up. It would be pumped full of mainstream garbage, and it would collapse just like the mainstream propaganda construct, like it's collapsing right now. Now, wasting 10 minutes for all the people that can't stand when I do that, trying to get it through so it's quick. But, you know, you need to realize how important that stuff really is. Now, on to the point. On to the beginning of the point today, starting with COVID-19, Derek Brose. Fantastic point today he makes with this tweet that this is a really big deal. Now, Collin County, when this first came out, remember when Collin County was one of the first groups that was saying, you know, these numbers are wrong. Like, something's off. We're, you know, speaking out about it. Of course, they got attacked. Everyone's, it's going after it. There's reasons, there's politics involved, you know, whatever. Which, you know, you have a right to ask yourself these things, but they were being accused of things from, you know, the blue check marks, which is usually how it goes. You know, people cowardice from behind their screens lobbing attacks at things for politics. But he said a month ago, people were concerned after the Collin County Commissioner's Court in Texas released a presentation stating the numbers of deaths might be greatly exaggerated. Now, look at the disclaimer they have added. This is incredible. Warning, Collin County is providing COVID-19 numbers and data as a convenience to our residents. However, because we have been made aware of inaccuracies, you mean the ones that we're being censored for claiming are there? Like the ones that we're claiming and then be told we're, you know, fake news conspiracy theorists? Yeah, those inaccuracies. In the Department of State Health Services reporting, we must advise residents that Collin County has no confidence in the data currently being provided to us. Let's just say that again for the record. Collin County has no confidence in the data coming from the Department of State and Health Services. I mean, is that not incredible that they're openly saying that we don't believe what we're being sent, or at the very least that they're inaccurate and they're making incredible mistakes? But who does anyone think that they're just going, whoops, put the decimal in the wrong spot. Whoops, we fudged that number over and over and over for 8 months straight. Oops, our mistake. Or are they lying to you for a very, very obvious reason? And for whatever reason, Collin County is saying, guys, look at it. It's wrong. They can't come out and just say, look, they're lying to you. But this shows me to some degree, either for a political reason or that they just want to be honest, which it could be, that they're telling you they're not true. The numbers are inaccurate. It's incredible. Now, of course, you could also consider that Collin County is wrong and that they made the mistake, right? Just for, you know, always going out, bending over backwards to give you full disclosure because the mainstream will never do that. And so hopefully you recognize that contrast. But I believe it's the obvious. I think it's because they're wrong. And we've already proven that 10 times over. So Collin County, that's good for you. It's incredible. Now, as Garrett Ike just pointed out as well, and this is one of the things we need to see as we go into the mandatory vaccinations of today, which will be coming, which is already starting in our states. It's, you know, the very thing we were told would never happen because we were just too crazy. You guys are out of your minds. You put on your tinfoil hats because it's never coming. I mean, literally, as it was already happening, but now it's being stated openly. But we're also seeing this drive for, or, you know, basically the insinuation, if not flat out just saying it in a little bit of a veiled way, that this is going to last for years, right? It went from a couple of days to of weeks to flatten the curve to just until we get a vaccine until, well, herd immunity. And now it's just becoming year. We're talking 2021, 22 at this point. And he's saying, this is just what he's heard, by the way, I'll get into the reality of, like, you know, verifying what he is saying. I've just been told, he says, firsthand, that pharmacies are being told to stock up on 6 month supplies as we are going into a 6 month lockdown from September to October. Can anyone verify or deny? Or in September and October. Now, realize, if that is true, and I do believe it is, because I'm going to show you everything next, but the point is, if that is being said, realize that means that at some level they're telling people that need to know that this is happening before they tell you. Which means right now, I mean, even as they play the game, whether we're not sure, or, you know, those of us that scream it's happening, whether they want us, whether we, you know, regardless of what we think, then shouting us, no, you're crazy, that's not true. They're telling us right now. And if they're telling these people, if they're saying it's coming, stock up, it means they want to keep some kind of semblance. So, well, first of all, recognize that means we're going to make sure our supply line for our pharmaceuticals continues. But we'll make sure, you know, supply lines for everything else that you care about, we don't care. But we're going to go out of our way secretly to make sure our supply lines for big pharma, all good during the worst problems. But, you know, you may run out of toilet paper and steaks and food and milk and whatever else, but your pharmaceuticals, don't worry, they'll be there. Right? That's how I take that. But regardless of whether that's even accurate, they're straight up telling, and it is, by the way, they're telling you that. They are telling you this. And it's quite alarming. And now that I'm looking at this, I should have used that picture right there for the main photo today. Am I crazy, or is that just the most sinister looking picture? That's like a, I don't know. I'm not going to put my feelings on top of it, but let's watch this video. Let's take a look at this. You guys can tell me what you think about it. Oh, and by the way, I just wanted to make it clear, by the way, in case you guys didn't see it. Do you recognize what that image is on the main photo? The image behind the world? Just in case you don't remember. I thought it was just choice to put them, those same four cops who forced that man to the ground and gave him a shot right in the beginning of all this. Can you believe that? I mean, it's incredible that that was happening then, and we're still being told we're crazy. Just thought it was too perfect to not include that. But let's watch. Where is it? Here we go. This video. Now, there's some things that are said in here that I just want you to hear. And also, interestingly enough, things that there are said that weren't put into this clip of the interview. This is kind of put up as the interview, even though there's a lot more that goes on in here. And I think you have to subscribe to their website to see it or whatnot, but there's some things that they didn't include that I find very, very relevant. I wonder why they didn't, and I think you'll know why.
For years, Bill Gates warned of a new virus that would cripple the world. This year, his predictions came true.
You know, the damage economically and health-wise has been far greater than I would have expected with a virus like this.
The tech mogul turned philanthropist set up the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation 20 years ago. It's been instrumental in
often, if not, seeing you lies. Bill Gates.
I meant to skip that beginning part. It's just a pan, you know. Gates is fantastic, and he's great, and he's doing things for you, and he's fighting for freedom, and he's fighting, you know, it's just like, think this, think that, think this, think that, right? It's just filling you full of things that you should think about this man, that most of which are actually completely inaccurate, when you understand what most of these things are aggressively benefiting him, which is, you know, and that's not my opinion, very clear to look up. We have articles written about it on and on and on. Mind Stuff says your strive into telling people what is going on is wrong. Okay, thanks for letting me know. I don't know what my strive into anything is means, but I thought that was going to be something important. Turned out not at all. Anyway, let's continue. So that beginning part was essentially, you know, just filling you full of things they want you to think. But it's funny how this is the person they're trying to pump you up to consider. But ask yourself, I mean, why is Bill Gates continually the person put in front of you? Right? I mean, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of people that are involved with vaccination discussions and doing these things that are even philanthropic, even people who are rich. Why him? He's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. I mean, it's incredible that they keep putting him out there as the end-all, be-all person, that what he says is what we should be doing. I mean, you can consider what he's saying, but to not, I mean, it just blows me away that one point needs to be clear. That he should not be the person that we are listening to. But, I mean, you can consider his opinion, but to put him up as the one person, the only one, needs to show you what they're trying to accomplish here. At the very least, that he has influence that he doesn't deserve.
So The Economist asks, there is this big race around the world to develop a vaccine. You, the Gates Foundation, are playing a big role in this. You know, are we spending enough? And if not, why not?
Well, there are six efforts that are the furthest along, which will be in phase 3 trials by the end of September. I do think several of them will be successful, not just at the 50% level, but the 80-90% level in terms of blocking transmission and sickness. So, you know, a little bit, the early ones may not be the best, and these characteristics are hard to measure, but...
Right, I mean, so even just what he's talking about right now, right? I mean, he's talking about, like, in-depth... I mean, he is not the person we should be listening to. Why don't you have the person making that vaccine come up and talk? Have one of the scientists, have the CEO of the company come up and say, well, here's what's going on. Why in the world does he keep... I mean, and not only that, it's not just The Economist. just like the last round, he makes this round where he goes to every one of them and they all put him up there and they all pump him in front of you as the one guy. It's we are being socially engineered. It's sort of as ridiculous as having somebody like Bill Nye, who is not even, I mean, same idea that they put in front of you. I mean, Bill Nye was the one they used to brainwash children. That's what they used him for. Bill Gates is being used to brainwash adults. Bill Gates is the Bill Nye for adults. I mean, that's what it basically boils down to. It's not, you should not be listening to this man.
I don't think that, you know, we need more constructs here. I think we have enough to be successful. We do need to finance these constructs so that we get them out globally, because that's the only way the epidemic ends. We all need to spend...
So right there. The only way this ends, apparently, despite history rife with examples of how things end of their own accord, even things that are not as severe, like what we're dealing with now. Exactly. But that it's not going to end until we have the entire world vaccinated. I mean, even consider that in regard to, so like, let's just say like the Western Hemisphere. Why is it that that is the case? Why does it have to be the entire world before this is over? I mean, that's just not even logical, because you could argue that certain locations could isolate and handle it themselves, right? But the point is that they're trying to drive you into this globalist mentality, because that's exactly the point. So if they get you thinking about no one is safe until we're all safe, and that it goes broader and broader into the point where we are arguing, you're driving us into a global governance without us even realizing it.
Billions to get the vaccine out to save the trillions that the economic damage is doing.
But why isn't that happening? I mean, you put it very well. Why aren't we spending the billions to save the trillions? When you talk to, you know, prime ministers, presidents, as I'm sure you do, why isn't this happening?
All the countries but the U.S. do need to think about why weren't they able to orchestrate early high-risk money. I mean, the U.K. did better over time. Germany did some things. But the U.S. is, thank goodness that BARDA, with all its imperfections, was there to move things ahead. This was a huge favor that was done for the entire world. And it's done, so we can globally take on the challenge. Many of these vaccines are fairly low cost to make. AstraZeneca.
Now, this is an interesting point, too. But what's interesting is that we can take this on, right? I mean, at what point, what's the we? What are we talking about here? I mean, and the idea is that whether or not these things are your choice, because there's a lot of countries out there that may or may not both agree. I mean, look at Sweden. Look at these locations that are in a different position. But of course, that it's being applied in this broad globalist sense that we all have to do what he says or what they think as an entity, whatever you want to think that is. That unless we do that, then we're screwed. And that just doesn't make any sense, because we're proving, or they're proving, in Sweden and different locations, that's just simply not the case. That in fact, that what they're saying we should do has been proven to not be the successful model. And I can show you more examples as we go forward. But now he gets into the situation, or into the discussion of cost. And what I think is so incredibly important about this is that I keep telling you that Americans are going to have to pay for this, despite other places. I mean, even Australia saying it's going to be free. I still argue it doesn't really boil down to being free for you, because you're going to pay for it, whether through taxes or whatever else. But nonetheless, even though we're still probably going to pay for it through taxes, they're going to charge you anyway. And he's going to say this right now. I mean, it just doesn't make sense that we're in a situation where they're telling us not only we have to do this or the world's going to end, that then they're going to say we are going to be forced to do it. So they're going to mandate that you take something and then charge you for it. This is the country. This is the government that we live under.
Johnson & Johnson, Novavax, Sanofi.
Also, to be clear, we're not there yet. So it could pop up tomorrow that they're not going to charge us. But just the point is, that's what he's saying. I'm not saying that's guaranteed to happen. So you always have to make these caveats, because the people that are trying to attack us will ridiculously. Like juvenile level, try to pick apart the one little thing that you say incorrectly to make sense, pretend like everything else isn't true. You know, when you speak off the cuff for 3 hours, you may make a little slip up here and there, right? That's why I tell you to research for yourself, but just explaining why I have to do that at nonstop.
Of those will be in the $2 to $3 marginal cost range. So you'll pay a somewhat higher price in rich and middle income to defer the fixed costs of the development. But for the very poorest countries where you just go for marginal costs, these vaccines will be quite cheap. So, you know, 10 or...
Cheap. So it'll be cheap. Even for the poor countries, they'll only charge them a little bit. No big deal.
Billion total to buy the vaccine for the developing world would almost certainly suffice. But without the U.S. taking its leadership role, as it's done in most global health things, it's been hard to get that together. So that's why I'm hoping the U.S. in its supplemental bill or somehow will step up and lead here, because that's still that's what would really get it. So we get that full $12 billion and we're not financially...
And there it is, the money, right? Wait, get to the point, Bill, because he's very aware of the buzzword, the comments, the discussion points that cause the most problems for him, right? So when you're talking about the U.S. stepping up, he's money. Where's that come from? For your pocket. So what, we need to pay $12 billion more dollars to help this I mean, it's incredible. What about the $5-6 trillion that we've already spent? Is that not enough? Oh, I forgot. That was used to bail out big business. So we're not there anymore. So now we need, he's actually talking about another supplemental bill for $12 billion or whatever he's talking about to pay for vaccines for other countries and around the world. Especially in a situation right now where it appears, based on the data, that we don't even need one. But sure, don't worry about feeding your family tonight. Just do what Bill Gates says.
Limited in dosing the world.
Give me a sense of what you...
I forgot about that. I just love that. I love that term, dosing the world. I mean, is that a Freudian slip? I understand the term dosing is used, you know, kind of, you know, what's the right word for it? Where it's not nefarious or anything, but it can also mean, you know, dosing somebody, you know, slipping them a Mickey, right? Doing something they're unaware of. So I just find that to be interesting.
At that full $12 billion, we're not financially limited in dosing the world.
Give me a sense of what you think.
So we're not limited. So we don't have to cut corners when we're drugging everybody.
Realistic to be achieved in terms of coverage of a vaccine globally. I mean, the last vaccine was, it took 5 years to develop. So by that standard, we're already in warp speed.
By that standard, yeah, we are. But, you know, but the point is that 5 years, it was the last time. So we're, in a matter of months, pumping out something that's never been done before. But don't worry, guys, it'll be all fine. This genetically modifying thing that they've never really done before, that's never been successful, despite trying for decades, and they've also skipped the animal trials, don't worry. It'll all be fine. Just trust Bill Gates.
Billions of doses, will we be able to get those out and get the immunity in 2021, or will this stretch over into 2022?
Yeah. Yeah, he just said that. Let's play it again.
Be able to get those out and get the immunity in 2021, or will this stretch over into 2022?
Okay, so now the immunity, again, like I keep telling you, as they just keep moving the goalpost, is what we need, this herd immunity, despite the fact that it's completely undefined and what it ultimately means in regard to this vaccine or that, or if it's 30 to 60%, or if it's 80 to 95, like Australia's saying. Like, it's just all over the map. At the end of the day, it's an aimless goal. It's, you know, defeating terrorism, right? When's that going to end? Well, when we tell you it ends, right? This is the point. So we're talking about 2021, right? So we're so far past what most Americans think this is going to be that it'll you know, we're just going to flatten the curve, guys, right? Just until we get the vaccine. We're already working on it. Don't worry. Oh, so now we're into 2021. He's going, well, maybe. And the point, he says very clearly, until we get the herd, the immunity is what he's talking about. So it's based on that. So your life doesn't get returned to you, if ever, until they tell you that we've reached herd immunity, which means that they have to make sure that a certain percentage of people gets it. Yeah, guys, this is happening. If you just pretend it's not, you are doing so much damage, I can't even explain it to you. Of course, half the people out there think that it's a good thing that they're going to force this on us, so that's even more alarming. Right? The same people that will scream about their own rights when it matters to them in a certain way. But of course, when they think a certain thing, well, rights don't matter for you guys because you're dumb, right? This is the two-party the two-party illusion working its finest.
There's a lot of modeling nowadays that's saying that because of the infections where you do get immunity and because of cross protection from other.
So if you get an infection, and like he just said, as a matter of fact, that you get immunity. So doesn't that mean that a massive proportion of our country already has immunity? Don't think too deep into it, though, because that won't make sense when they force it on everybody else to get the same thing. Right? I mean, realistically, anybody who's already had it, based on what he just said, you know, the expert that we're being told to listen to, based on that, these millions of people that have already gotten it have immunity. So that means by that logic, you really only need to put it on people that are in a certain range that haven't had it, which is not as many people. But that's not what's going to happen. They're going to force it on the hypothetical percentage they think they need, ignoring the fact that millions of people have already had the immunity, likely a hell of a lot more. Because you know what makes sense? If you were to test everybody for immunity in this country, I bet you most of us already have it, because it was already happening here before we were told about it. So that point means that if you did that, and based on his point, is that you ultimately wouldn't end up needing a vaccine. But guess why we won't test? Because they want you to need the vaccine, or they want you to think that you need it, based on this idea of a pandemic, which of course psychologically drives you to conformity and to basically allow authoritarianism. Just like the study that we just showed you. I'll mention it again in a moment for those that didn't see the show yesterday.
Vaccines and coronaviruses, if you add the vaccine in, even at like a 30 to 40% level, that may stop exponential spread. So that would be a very...
It may. Cool. So let's test out an experimental vaccine that could hurt a lot of people that we've never really successfully achieved, because it may do something that may lead to herd immunity that may lead to us getting our lives back. A lot of hypotheticals in there. But you see, the reason that they make that, they claim that that's okay, because they give you this righteous premise that all of this is being done for your interest. We're making leaps and bounds, and we're experimenting, and we're grasping at things that may be dangerous, but it doesn't matter because we are all in danger. But we're not, though, guys. That's the point. The numbers are not there anymore. And all of a sudden, we're talking about politics in November, and we're just pretending like we don't know that. As they keep forcing all the same things, keep locking you down, keep restricting your life, and keep telling you this is the worst thing ever, despite it being not even close to anything that they pretended was this bad. What Del Bigtree pointed out, which I think is way incredibly relevant, that their own threat assessment of viruses that they made before COVID-19 puts this right now between a 1 and a 2. How do you explain that? So before this all started, they would have labeled this as not that serious. But now that we're here and the numbers line it up right there, they just don't talk about it. Maybe it's because they need this to be more serious than what it actually is.
Thing, then you can imagine that by late 2021, you would have enough doses that you're almost done. But
by late 20, look, he's not even talking about herd immunity now. He's talking about the production of the vaccine by late 2021, having enough doses. Then we're talking about actually getting it out there, the feasibility and the actual, not just the production, but, you know, supply lines, having it delivered, having it given, and then setting up appointments and having people go and having, I mean, guys, if he's saying that only having them is probably late 2021, based on their logic, this is guaranteed to go way into 2022. So you can plan on being locked down, forced to wear a mask, forced to live in this fake virus pandemic scenario for 2 years. I mean, really take that in. I keep asking you this. If you knew right now that this was going to go on forever, would you still be okay with what they're doing? And I argue that most everybody would say no. But everyone has been convinced one way or another that this will come to an end once they give us what. Well, I mean, do you not have the precedent already in your mind? The war on terror was supposed to be temporary. Technically, that's still happening. The war on drugs was supposed to be temporary. Yeah, that's still happening. That was started in Nixon's era. So let's pretend like this war on virus is just going to... I promise you, the only reason they didn't use the war on virus or war on pandemics or whatever is because it's dumb and we all recognize what that means now. We have a war on drugs. We've got a war on anti-Semitism. We've got a war on... They realize, at least, good for them for finally seeing how obvious they are, that we see that that's their plan. Now, but it doesn't change the fact that that's the actions. We are in a war against whatever this is, and that's the point, because it will never end, because there's no tangible, definable end to what this is.
With just a little bit of spillover into 2022.
That would be globally.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, globally. The rich countries, well, the U.S., you know, has all this dedicated capacity, has the most across many manufacturers. I think by the, you know, in 2021, it will bring the pandemic to an end.
You have to have a vaccine, but you also have to have people willing to be vaccinated. So how big a risk is there that even if we have a vaccine, people actually won't get vaccinated?
Well, it's partly why we need trusted people to, you know, make sure they share their view of what is the science here, what do we really know, and so that people aren't just acting on rumors.
Oh, okay, so trusted people. So who defines the trusted people, right? Because if a trusted person comes out and says what they disagree with, well, boom, just like that, they're no longer a trusted person. Isn't that interesting how that works? Because it's not really about what they're saying, or it's not really about whether they're trusted. It's specifically about the content. That's it. So what he's actually saying there is we need people to come out and tell you what to think. We need people that you're supposed to trust, like a Bill Nye or like a Bill Gates that we're supposed to trust, even though you really shouldn't, come out and tell you what to think. If frontline doctors come out, if Dr. Seidel comes out, if Dr. Barke comes out, Dr. Mikovits, Dr. Buttar, or any number of doctors, or all of the doctors in Germany, or all of these people, doctors in Denmark or Sweden, right? All of these people that are actually experts and are very well respected, including the Dr. Fauci equivalent in these areas, they're just no longer trusted because they don't like what they're saying. Do you hopefully see how stupid that is? Like how fundamentally contradictory that is. You can't just deem people experts or trusted because they say what you like, which is exactly what they're doing. But that's why you can almost see him fumble through saying that. In his mind, he doesn't really believe what he's saying. He's thinking, we need to pick those trusted people. I feel like you can almost see him thinking that as he's saying this.
Actually won't get vaccinated.
Well, it's partly why we need trusted people to make sure they share their view of what is the science here, what do we really know.
But just trusted people, though. But nobody else.
People aren't just acting on rumors. Fortunately, this isn't measles. We don't need over 90% of people to take the vaccine. We think an additional...
But Australia's government is saying right now that they're going to make sure that 95% gets it. You know, but who cares, right? Who cares? We don't focus on the details. Just do what you're told.
Could be as high as 60%, but somewhere between 30 to 60% of the population.
So if only 30 to 60%, that means including the people that already have antibodies, according to Bill Gates, is not that many more. But you would see they won't do that. That's my point. They'll continue to pretend they need that 60% of the population, meaning that translates into that many people need to take this vaccine. But that contradicts what he just said, that if they already have the antibodies, well, they don't need it. Right? I mean, if you just take the smallest amount of time to dive into even what they're saying on the surface level, you quickly find that most of this doesn't add up.
Taking the vaccine, if it's on the high end of the effectiveness range, which one or two of the beginning ones won't, but some of the six will be.
Right. Okay, great. So some of the beginning ones will not work and be bad and probably hurt you, but it's okay. We'll keep going. We got 5, 10, 20 of them coming your way.
And you'll just stop the exponential spreads. We can get herd immunity even if there are certain parts of the population that we're not, for medical reasons, going after. You know, there'll be an age limit. We'll see, you know, do they decide that pregnant women are in or not in, or people with various other conditions.
Okay, so think about this. So right now we know that they are not testing. They're not testing the vaccine on children and pregnant women, as they usually don't. But so right there, he's saying that they're going to consider whether or not to include them. So either that means that basically you're either going to put them at potential risk because you don't know how it will react, or you're going to have all pregnant women and all children unvaccinated. So either way, they'll be able to pretend, like if it's one way where they're not vaccinated, that's a whole lot of people. So they'll use that as a way to pretend it didn't work, or it doesn't make sense in the idea that there's that many people unvaccinated, or they'll put them at risk. Either way, there's a lot of people. The CDC right now will admit that there's a percentage of people that simply shouldn't get any vaccines because their body just can't accept it. I think it's immune compromised, or the different terms, I always forget what it means, but or what the actual phrase term is. But the point is that there is a percentage that they admit. And yet places like Virginia, which we're going to talk about next, are just saying we don't care. There will be no exemptions, or they're trying to make sure there's not. which means they're openly saying that that guy that's not supposed to have it, that we know is not supposed to have it, we're going to force him to take it because it's in everyone's interest. That rings back to that, I think, 1913 case, where they forced the guy and his family to take the vaccine despite his child having an incredibly serious reaction. And ended up having an incredibly serious reaction. But they forced it under the guise that it was better for society. These are the kind of things that Dershowitz references. Because that sounds like freedom and democracy, doesn't it?
Anything, it's got to work for the elderly.
Let's just go back to the emerging world and the scale of damage that this pandemic is going to do. You know, do you think that the worst is over there, or is the worst still ahead?
No, the worst is still ahead because...
Oh, well, isn't that lovely? Oh, so don't worry, guys. All of this, you're losing your job, you're losing the economy, being able to feed your family, right? I mean, the complete destruction of everything you ever knew in the normal world that the normal world we lived in. But don't worry, that's not even the worst. The worst is coming still. Don't worry. It's going to be a dark winter. They keep telling us. If you're not listening, then you're just not paying attention because they keep telling you it's going to get worse. It will be bad. There'll be another one. Pandemic 2. Bill Gates said this right in the beginning. How'd he know that? I mean, how disgusting is it with everything that's happened, millions and millions of people unemployed, and he's saying it's not even the worst? We're not even there yet. It's going to get worse, guys. I mean, I'm not trying to scare anybody. The point is that's literally what he's saying. And if anything, if things he said in the past are any indication and how they've come out to be true, then it will probably come to pass. Because it's almost like this guy knows exactly what's going to happen. Gee, seems that way, doesn't it?
Their dependence on certain commodity prices in some countries, on remittances in the case of other countries, on borrowing, which they were getting, a lot of these countries were getting up to pretty tough limits. You know, these are not countries that they can just issue debt like mad without feeling inflationary pressures through the exchange rate. And so they live in the economic world, go out corruptly and, kind of give the whole program a bad name. And so basically a lot of citizens of these countries are just left on their own with way less of a healthcare system, which has been incredibly overloaded, and less general government capability in education and justice and you know, infrastructure investment, which everybody was looking forward to, now put off even more. And so sadly, like every bad event, you know, the poorest in the U.S. suffered more than the wealthy, and the poor countries suffered way, way more than the rich countries, particularly the poorest in the poor countries.
And what he means by the poor countries, by and large, are the countries that are being, you know, siphoned from by people like the United States, governments like the United States, governments like any number of ones that they work with. You know, the poor countries, like the people in Africa, that have been basically the imperialist nations of before them, Britain, now, you know, the United States and whoever else after them, that continue to just step on them and steal from them, keep them where they are so they can be abused. Right? That's what he means. It's just interesting to think about that.
And that's potentially the greatest tragedy of this, that even as the need is greater, we're turning inward and the multilateralism is even less evident. Bill Gates.
Aha, yes, you see the point, that the idea that we need to continue to branch out into this idea of you know, not thinking internally, the globalist mentality, right? This is what it really boils down to. And that's what this is all, that's what they're saying. I mean, that's what this ultimately the interview itself boiled down to. Right, that because of all this, we're losing sight of what we want to accomplish, the crossing borders idea. It's quite interesting. But it's going to continue. I mean, whether Bill Gates says it or whether governments say it or whether, I mean, it doesn't matter. They're openly telling you that this will not stop until they get what they want, until they get what we need, supposedly. That's what they're telling us. You know, we need herd immunity. That's what has to happen. Well, I want to play just a couple more things before I move on, actually, that this is what I found kind of interesting about this is, yes, that wasn't meant to be that. I think that was just the supposed to be the highlights, right? The highlights of the interview. But here are some clips from that same interview that seemed to be just, you know, maybe they just forgot. Maybe they just accidentally left them out. I found this one to be very relevant.
Now let's turn to the US, because it's the country, you know, it's the world's biggest economy, it's the preeminent public health country in the world. It's got the world's best epidemiologists. I mean, why is it done so badly?
Well, we believe in freedom, individual freedom. We optimize for individual rights.
Oh, look at that. I mean, look at that smile he's got, right? Well, these dumb Americans want freedom, right? Dummies. Like, we can't save you because you want individual rights. Like, I mean, that should make your skin crawl. Like, I mean, this is the kind of internal, I mean, barely veiled disgust they have for the Constitution, for all of these things, because it limits what they can accomplish. So he's literally saying right there, when she asks, why did we do so bad? He says, because we have freedom. Are you serious? Because we have free, because we value individual rights? He is literally answering why we did so bad. So in his mind, freedom, individual rights, they are a deterrent. They're a block. They are getting in his way. I mean, I don't know how that can be any more clear. And just in case, play it one more time.
The world's biggest economy, it's the preeminent public health country in the world, has got the world's best epidemiologists. I mean, why is it done so badly?
Well, we believe in freedom, individual freedom. We optimize for individual rights.
What about...
Crazy. I mean, it really just, it's really outstanding to me that they can be so clear. Your freedom gets in the way of us keeping you safe. That is what that boils down to. There is no way, hindrance, and yeah, thank you, perfect. I'm sure you guys can always tell when I have a word in my mind that I'm trying to get to, and I just can't, it drives me crazy.
China, about which there's obviously a lot of debate. Should we blame China for, you know, not being fessing up early enough, or should we praise them for the degree to which they got...
That's the case. This is a journalist from The Economist. Should we not, because they didn't fess up early enough? That is an untrue statement. Or at the very least, that's your opinion that you're basically passing off as fact. You can argue that you think that they covered something up, but that one has never even come close to being proven. And based on just the way this developed, you could simply argue that they didn't know. And once they did, they told the world. Now, I'm not saying I believe that. I'm saying I don't know. I'm saying that nobody knows, because we don't know. Because this is based on the chain of events. All we have is people like Trump and Pompeo stating that they did that because it's politically beneficial to them. There's not been an investigation. There's no way you could know the intent of Chinese government. And understand, the World Health Organization was right there with them from the beginning, which means there was a lot of U.S. personnel too, because the U.S. is the primary funder of World Health Organization before that, and that means they were using primarily U.S. personnel. That's how that works. As well as the fact that there was U.S. people in Wuhan's lab at that time. So the point being that they were well aware of what was going on, but let's keep pretending like they just didn't tell us and they didn't fess up in time. Despite the fact that Canada, France, Japan, Taiwan, Spain, on and on and on have all proven that they found this before they claim it was in China. Canada said they found it in frozen waste samples all the way back in 2013, or they found it today. In frozen samples from 2013. Okay, I've covered this on the show. So how can you find samples of COVID-19 in frozen waste samples from 2009 to 2013, but yet we're pretending China didn't, quote, fess up for when this began? I mean, you know, yeah, she's got an accent. Let's pretend like she's really intelligent or very honest, right? That's usually this American perception we have of, like, the UK accent. But really, she just lied to you like the rest of them.
Under control internally.
They did a very good job of suppressing the virus. You know, there may have been a lot of individual rights that were violated there, but the...
And around comes the point, right? So it's because they violated the individual rights and freedom that we were able to save them, right? So again, he's just coming around the back end and saying, yeah, see, your freedom gets in the way, you dumb Americans.
Overall macro effect that they achieved is, you know, kind of amazing.
Uh-huh. Let's turn to the U.S.
Aha. Uh-huh. One more.
People act like you have a choice. People don't feel like going to the stadium when they might get infected. You know, it's not...
Oh, so now Bill's telling you what you feel, right? You don't want to go anywhere when you feel bad. So that means you don't have a choice, right? People pretend like they have a choice because I'm telling you that you don't want to go out when you feel bad. Looks great. It's great. These people really have their finger on the pulse of America.
Not the government who's saying, okay, just ignore this disease and, you know... people are deeply affected by seeing these deaths, by knowing they could be part of the transmission chain, and old people, their parents, their grandparents could be affected by this. And so you don't, you know, you don't get to say, ignore what's going on here.
You don't get to. Let's just make sure that's clear. He's telling you you don't get to. You don't get to. You don't get to make a choice. Bill's telling you you don't get to. Okay, good. Mark that down for later. We don't get to do what we want anymore.
There will be the ability, particularly in rich countries, to open up if things are done well over the next few months. But for the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population. But you don't.
So he just went from, and this is a different interview, by the way. So he said 30 to 60% before, but now he's saying largely the large majority of the world gets entirely vaccinated or we can't go back to normal. Interesting, don't you think?
Have a choice. People act like you have a choice.
People just act like they have a choice. You know, stupid Americans, right? I mean, this is the sentiment we're getting, that we are a hindrance to ourselves, that our stupid old dummy constitution just makes us think that we have things we don't, and it's getting in the way of the globalist agenda that will save us all, right? It's incredible that these same people, the same politicians who are right now going along with this guy, alternatively pretend like they believe in the Constitution, they swore an oath of the Constitution, while they then turn around and do everything they can to stop it, remove it, disparage it, and pretend like it's an archaic document that only gets in our way. But then at the same time, use it anytime they want to achieve their goals. Right? Again, I mean, it's just, it's all there for you to see. It always has been, by the way. I just think what's going on now makes it pretty hard to miss. Now, onto the major point, as he's telling you this, as we're talking about this, as the whole point being that we won't get back to normal until that, well, now Virginia's health chief is saying that he will mandate the vaccine. And, of course, strongly opposes exemptions too, right? Because we don't want anybody to be able to skip away from this one, because that's just what's safe. That's the exact opposite of safe, right? The exemptions are there for people that cannot take them, as well as religious and otherwise. Right. But so now our government's telling us that we don't care about your religion. We don't care about anything that you feel. We don't care about your own rights or the way you perceive your body and all this stuff. We don't care. You're not allowed to. Why? Because we've deemed it unsafe for people, for you to have that freedom. OK, you could say that a different way, but that's what that boils down to. Sure. Because we think the virus is too dangerous. So we have to do this. Right. It's just we wouldn't do it otherwise. As always. Right. You have everything of freedom. We live in a free country. Caveat until we're in fear. Right? That, I mean, think about how clear that is. It's outrageous. But here's where we are, where people are telling us that we're crazy, that this isn't happening, that they will never do this. They will never force you to do this, except here they are telling you they're going to force you to do that. So it is happening, ladies and gentlemen. It always was happening. It's happening again. Here is, gosh darn it. Okay, Brave is really getting on my nerves. I love it. I love the platform. But it's freezing on me. I should note that it could be my computer. I doubt it because it only happens on this platform. But either way, as I'll just come back to this for a moment while that continues to circle. Well, let's hope it doesn't end the show. But the point is that this has been going on for quite a while. And we all know this. I mean, we've been covering, I think I did videos with somebody, you guys may remember Jaslyn from an episode as well as an interview of things we did back in California. I think it was SB... I'm going to forget the bill now, SB25, I'm going to forget it. But nonetheless, it was in regard to removing exemptions for vaccinations. This was happening back in California long before we got here. And she was fighting for this. She was fighting to expose this. But the point is, it's always been there. This is from ABC News. Virginia Health Commissioner says he'll mandate a COVID-19 vaccine. Right? I actually tried to make sure I modeled my title off exactly what ABC said. Because I'm praying that they censor this video so I can make a big stink about the fact that they censored while allowing mainstream media to say the exact same thing. Or claiming that I'm lying while it's being reported right in the mainstream media. But anyway, this is happening. It is 100% happening. This is not fake news. They're openly saying it. And as Endgame points out, and this is the point we need to think about, because this is always how it happens. And I argue this is the plan. Once one state does it, then watch out. He says, I'm not anti-vax, but at the same time, it should be your choice to take it or not. Now, of course, in the mind of anybody who is fighting for this vaccine to be used, if you simply claim that you should be your choice, you become anti-vax. That's it. It's reductive because that's how they've been trained by the propaganda. If you either say you should take it, be dutifully line up and take what you're told, or you're anti-vax, period. Try to have a conversation with anybody about this and just say that, look, I have my vaccines, which my children have them, but I think we should have a choice, and suddenly they're going to call you anti-vax. It's irrational, like most of these things. And no, I've not had mine, and no, I wouldn't vaccinate my children, and no, I'm not going to get that one. The point is, you should have a choice always in all things, because that's what actual freedom looks like. Virginia plans mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations for all residents. During an interview that aired on Friday, the state's health commissioner said he planned to invoke state law to make vaccinations mandatory once a Western product is available. Now, the point is, in that the video, it exists, but I didn't want to spend the half of the day trying to track it down, and it should be so easy to find that video. The point is, you go on YouTube, you type this in, you'll find 100 other briefings that same person has had days before this. Weirdly, the one where he says that just suddenly is not there anymore. It's almost like they don't want you hearing these things, but they want to make sure it gets on the record. He said, it's killing people now. We don't have a treatment for it. And by the way, we do, actually. There's a bunch. And if we develop a vaccine that can prevent it from spreading in the community, we will save hundreds and hundreds of lives. So already, by the way, that's taking at face value the fact that this is what they're telling us it is, by the way, which is, it's farcically not true. Like, I mean, it is ridiculous on its face, obvious that it's not what they're telling us it is. You either choose to blindly listen to them or actually be smart enough to look at what they're pointing to and go like, wait a minute, that's not what you're saying it is. basic stuff. So at face value, this is killing all these people. Well, no, it's actually not. People are dying, but people die every year from the flu, and it's very clear that this is not as severe as we were told. But he also says that if we develop a vaccine and it can prevent prevent it from spreading, right? So let's understand that they're going to test this. They're going to claim that it has whatever they say it can do. Emergent BioSolutions is clearly involved with the process of this, and they're right now being exposed for pushing a product that was never tested and was never proved to work. The efficacy was never proven, and yet they still forced it on people. And then it came back around, and they forced it again, knowing that they didn't test it. That's the same group, by the way, that was caught up with the anthrax vaccine that they did the exact same thing about. They're getting all kinds of million-dollar deals from the State Department, the Pentagon, even when they haven't even tested the efficacy of these things. Yeah, that's the same company, by the way, that's going to be manufacturing these vaccines. No one cares about that, but sure, it's going to prevent this. So they say. They said the same thing about both of those products, and they lied. So let's just pretend we can trust them. But this politician is sure as hell going to, because it benefits him politically to do so. Now it says, Virginia Freedom Keepers Director of Communications Kathleen Medeiros says, for me, it's an issue of being able to assess each vaccine for myself and my family one at a time. Yeah, what a conspiracy theorist, right? What a crazy maniac. How dare she want to research for herself before they inject chemicals into her child that have been shown in the past to cause damage? Especially when they rushed them out, such as the smallpox vaccine. They rushed out for danger because we were in so, and it hurt people. 3 people died. And it was only with so many thousand first responders. She says he shouldn't be the one person to make the decision for all Virginians. Yeah, I agree. Right? It's funny how the country that screams about freedom and democracy is the country right now that is tearing it apart as if it was ever really there. They're really exposing to you that it was never there, that they are telling you right now that you don't get to make these choices at the moment we decide you no longer have that ability. Fear, terrorism, shootings, whatever it is, we decide and boom, just like that, it's no longer there. Meaning it never really was. He says, Oliver believes that COVID-19 is a public health emergency that should take precedent over everything else. Yeah, we're seeing that, aren't we? And that vaccine-assisted herd immunity is the best and only defense. They're telling you guys, if you just listen, they continue to tell you. Now, here is ABC also telling you that states... No question, according to attorney, right? No, maybe states have authority to fine or jail people who refuse the vaccine. So we're not even talking about mandatory anymore, which is basically the same thing. They're saying that just once it comes out, they're arguing right now that states already have the authority to put you in jail if you say no. Think about that. That's pretty chilling. This is the illusion of freedom, that they already have that authority. Nobody would have agreed with that if you said it before this started. But here's an attorney saying, yep, legal precedent, 1905. We can force you, can put you in jail if you say no. Right? I mean, that seems inherently counter. It's directly counter to what we are told. Is it not? I mean, am I crazy? That before this started, that people would have gone crazy online. The blue checks would have lost their minds, saying there's no way, that's not true, that with freedom and democracy and blah, blah, blah. Well, guess not. Ugh, brave freezing again. Come on. I mean, I find it interesting that, there we go. Greece announces up to life in prison for violating coronavirus quarantine rules, right? The quarantine rules that we already know have caused a lot more damage than necessary, right? The fact that these lockdowns, and I understand, to be very clear when I said that before, I'm not talking about people who are sick. I'm talking about the quarantine of people who are not verifiably caused way more problems. And I'm not even talking about like things like the suicide or, you know, what this has caused in addition to that. I'm talking about the fact that putting people who are not sick on quarantine in their houses and families and around other people has made this worse in every possible way. By the way, that's what a lot of experts said in the beginning, that quarantines are archaic and they don't work. You know, remember Iran's government said that too? It's interesting that that's actually the case. Not because Iran said it, but because it is actually the case. And I argued that in the very beginning. It's just like the idea of, because we think that masks work because that's just been the way it's been. That's what we were told. It is ritualistic, not actually rooted in science. But as Greece is telling you, that life in prison, guys. Now, it's nuanced. There's different levels to this. Like if you get someone sick, you can get up to 5 to 10 years. If you get a group sick, you can get even more. If it turns out that you tried to and get people sick and then they die, you can get life in prison. Which, by the way, it's incredibly impossible to define. Like, how could you ever prove, unless it was very apparent they tried to? And how could you ultimately trace it back to them and not the person behind them? Or so on and so on, right? But it doesn't matter. It's a fear tactic. They're telling you, you better do what you're told or we're going to put you in prison. I mean, if this was a country that they want to do, I mean, it doesn't even matter. This is happening. That's the real takeaway. Greece, you know, these countries that are buddied up with the United States, it's coming your way. And weirdly enough, here's what Trump comes out and says after this, right? So as we're at a point where vaccines are pumping out hot and everyone's telling us that they're going to be forced on us, even as the people online pretend that that's not the case, and most of Trump supporters, I would argue, are people that pretend that he secretly knows that the vaccine's bad and that he's not going to force it. That's why he keeps using this phrase. Like, it's kind of embarrassing that he knows them so well that all he has to do every time he mentions vaccines is also follow it by "and therapeutics." And all of his supporters think, oh, wink, wink, we get it. Wink, wink, we know you don't think vaccine. He also said therapeutics. He knows. No, he's saying that because you guys are too blind to realize that he's playing you, that he knows that all he has to do is include those things and you will read into it however you want it to read in. But here's what he says. The deep state, or whoever, I got to tell you, Trump, he can troll better than most. You know, I've seen him troll the mainstream media to a T, like fantastically. But when he's trying to play like reverse psychology, when he's trying to play a social engineering, he is clumsy as hell. Like, he's really bad at this. Like, he wanted you to think the deep state because he's playing into the QAnon, playing into his base or whoever. It's just his way of being like, I didn't really say deep state. I was just kind of joking, or however they want to play it. Because when the media comes back and points this out, he's going to say, I was kidding. It was a joke, or I didn't mean it, or I didn't say it. I said, or whoever. That's pretty ridiculous. So he means the deep. So when he says the deep state at the FDA is making it very difficult for drug companies to get people in order to test the vaccine and therapeutics, they read that as, I'm trying to get hydroxychloroquine to you guys and the deep state's stopping me. That's not even close to what he's saying. He's literally saying the deep state or the FDA or whatever is making vaccines harder to get to you. I thought we didn't want them. Right? All of his supporters are people that are screaming about how Bill Gates is trying to put chips in you because of vaccines. And he's literally telling you that he's trying to get them to you, that he's going to use the military to get it out. And it won't be mandatory, except our states are already telling you it's going to be mandatory. He says, obviously, they are hoping to delay the answer until after November 3rd. Most focus on speed and saving lives. He is pro-vaccine. He said it so many times. He is definitely behind this, Gates' involvement or not. He has supported Gavi. His administration has personally given them almost $1 billion. Also, the U.S. aid gave them over $1 billion. Very easy to show you. Two different things. Both of them are funding Gavi, Bill Gates' group, and through that, the World Health Organization. There's no way to misunderstand that. Again, to be clear, the World Health Organization got, or through Gavi, got about $1.1 billion from U.S. aid, and then Trump's administration in two different times gave them millions of dollars, hundreds of millions, from his administration. So there's no way you could pretend like he's not funding the World Health Organization and Gavi and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation through all that. So if the deep state is trying to, think about how counterintuitive that is. How is the deep state trying to stop the vaccine from getting out to people? Isn't that the exact opposite of what the narrative is? Right? I mean, it's just, this is ridiculous. Now, I'd love to watch how his supporters will just kind of bend over and make, this is what it means, and please tell me what he thinks, because I'm sure you know. And just to be clear, as always, I will always point this out, it's just as ridiculous on the other side. He just happens to be the president. But, pro-vaccine. Despite him saying, giving you the out so you can pretend that's not what he's saying. All coming your way. Warp speed, guys. Warp speed. But if you really need to see the reality here, this one graph says it all. Now, this is from realclimatescience.com, Tony Heller. Great site, or great YouTube channel as well. This is incredible. As he says here, Dr. Fauci says New York did everything right and Sweden failed. Oh, but Fauci's bad guy, right? And Trump secretly knows, except he's doing everything to support their agenda. Now, you can call me crazy and tell me that there's some kind of 4D chess going on, but wait till it happens. And tell me, I'll tell you what, if I'm wrong, I will jump up for joy. I will come on to all of you. I was wrong. Thank God I was wrong. And Trump saved the world. I just don't think that's going to happen. Like, I've been saying that for years. And all they keep saying is, don't worry, it's going to happen. Now all they're saying is after the election, right? 4 years we have been told that he's going to save, that he's going to change the country, make America great again. Well, we're worse than ever, right? No, I think anybody can agree, whether you want to blame it on COVID or not, we're in a real bad way. But yet his tagline for the new election is keep America great. Even though we got worse from when he started and his tagline was make it great again, and now we're worse than before, somehow it's make it, keep it great. Totally makes sense. It's all politics. It's all BS. We have to see that this is going to happen. Not the graph that I'm pointing at, but rather what I was just talking about as I deviate back into what I was saying. But the point is that once we get there, you need to recognize that they were all leading us in the same direction. But look at what this says. Deaths per million, New York State versus Sweden. Now, obviously, we're talking about a country versus a state, but in regard to populations, right? I mean, understand that there's a dramatic difference between the United States and Sweden. But taking it as a, case study here, New York, obviously, dramatically more deaths. Or, we could argue some of those were lied about. We know that was the case. Nonetheless, we know also a lot of people died in the nursing homes. Now, whether that was their actions or not, bottom line is, Tony Fauci said they did everything right. And that Sweden failed. Yet Sweden had, completely. I mean, what is that? Maybe a fifth of the deaths of New York? I mean, I'm just basing that off my eyeball here. But look at the most important part. So if Sweden failed and New York State succeeded, and New York had dramatically more deaths, and they basically ended up, Sweden basically just succeeded from the very beginning. They had a small spike in deaths, and then they just tapered down. New York had a huge spike in deaths, and then they tapered down the same way. But the point is that New York State has 13.4% antibodies. Sweden has 14.9%. So for everyone pretending about the idea of herd immunity, Sweden's better. Sweden had less deaths, and they never even locked down to destroy the economy. So please explain for me how New York succeeded and Sweden failed. How about it's because New York did what it was told, and they played along with the agenda? That's why it succeeded, because the agenda was to get us where we are now, and Sweden didn't do what they were told, so they failed. But if we're basing this, what metric are we using? If we're using deaths, Sweden succeeded. If we're using antibodies, Sweden succeeded. If we're using the economy, the state of the economy, Sweden succeeded. If we're using any single metric about where we are right now, Sweden has so clearly won, it makes me laugh. But according to any of these experts that they want to pump into you on the news, whether that's Trump or Fauci or anybody else, the reality is that that is not what we should be looking at. Sweden didn't do it right, or they're hiding something, or blah, blah, blah. Now it's just, look at Joe Biden, November, here we go, and no one's paying attention anymore. Or at least the people that we're trying to convince, right? Because I know you are all here because you're aware something's off, because you know in your heart that something's wrong. But all the people right now that are watching the stupid, unnecessary clown show of the DNC, the fake illusion that is the two-part 2020 selection, well, you're lost, because that is exactly what they want, and they're still pushing this stuff forward. How is that possible if we know that right now the deaths are tapering off to nothing and the cases are also starting to come down, but they're claiming as the cases even trickle up that we need to continue to do something? That's because of the claim that those cases will translate to death, but that's not true. They know that. Now, on top of this, I want to play a little thing from you from Bill Gates that I thought was probably one of the most, intentionally ominous things that I think I've ever seen from Bill Gates. And I've seen some pretty weird things coming from them. But watch this quick video. And I'm hesitant to play this because I feel like it's going to get this video taken down. But here, why don't we just do this? So it starts with this really creepy... By the way, some people have said that looks like the swamps in Florida, which is exactly where they're talking about here, like with the mosquitoes. This says right here, it's mosquito week. And by the way, this is on Bill Gates' own YouTube channel. Oh, weird. Look like he turned comments off. I wonder why. And somehow I find these ups and downs not to be accurate. I find that to be not true. If the comments are turned off, let's see if it changed. Well, it's almost at 1,000 now. But see, I somehow find I just don't think that's accurate. Don't freeze on me. Dang it. So this video... Okay, here we go. Okay, I got to find ways to talk when that happens. Okay, watch. So this is basically the swamps. And it leads to this figure, this really ominous figure that is very clearly the Grim Reaper, right? And then it zooms up on him. That's all it is. Zooms up, and then all of a sudden it becomes mosquitoes. Look at that. I mean, what is the point of something like that? And all it really boils down to is it comes to this, and it shows a gross mosquito in your face, and then it says, still the world's deadliest killer. So that is like fear. That is fear tactic propaganda. That is, they're scaring, there's like, be afraid of this deadly thing. Why? Because Bill Gates is funding the release of GM mosquitoes. And that's why, only on Gates notes, that he uses this ridiculous scare. I mean, couldn't you have just put out something that made an infomercial? Did you have to make it so ominous and scary? They did, because they're trying to trick you. They're trying to scare you into doing what you're told. Well, here is the point. And I'll keep this. I'm not going to rehash it again. But you guys can read this for yourselves. A great article by Whitney Webb. Eco-genocide and the genetically engineered mosquito army. Right? This is being funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I mean, there are already problems. I mean, look, right now in Bakersfield, as I understand it, in California, apparently they're just like overrun, like end of the world kind of overrun with mosquitoes. I have family that lives there. And it's like, they said you literally can't even go outside because it's so overwhelming. Now, this was a couple days ago, but nonetheless, this is happening all over the place. If they are pumping this stuff out into Florida and wherever else, and by the way, they're already telling us it's not working. Like, I already saw stuff about the fact that it's not coming, big surprise, it's not going the way they planned, just like it did in the last time. Do you remember when last time at least I remember talking about GM mosquitoes was during the Zika scare? I hope people are beginning to realize that this has been going on for a long time. The testing, the experimentation, the biomanipulation, like just like people like Dr. Francis Boyle will tell you, the person who drafted the Biowarfare Act that the U.S. government still uses. He will openly tell you that these things were manufactured and used. They are bioweapons, things like even HIV and AIDS, or things like MERS and SARS, or foot and mouth disease, or Lyme disease, right? These things are biomanipulated weapons. Half of them have been proven. Things like Lyme disease, we have shown you, and they've admitted that they weaponized ticks. And then we pretend like Lyme disease wasn't the byproduct of that. It is exactly what it was. That's why people still barely even know how to diagnose Lyme disease, because it's an undiagnosed biomanipulation. But let's pretend like none of this has anything to do with themselves, right? So let's in the middle of a pandemic, release billions of mosquitoes because it will save you. Or who knows what else is going on. Incredible. Like just incredible to me. But a couple more points I want to make before we move on. I wanted to say, just hope you remember in this last article from Derek Brose about the studies that predicted governments become authoritarian in response to pandemics, which is a really important article that I hope you will read, because it basically boils down to the fact that if a government was going to create a scenario that would lead to exactly what they're trying to accomplish, authoritarianism, compliance, right? A conformed populace that will enforce amongst themselves, attack their neighbors for not doing what they're told. These studies, multiple studies over the years, found that pandemics create a empirically unique situation that drives people into conformity, that drives people into authoritarianism. So let's pretend. So basically the answer is, if a government wanted to pick a scenario that would do it, it would be a pandemic. So let's pretend that, and then the point they make in the article is whether or not it's actually real psychologically. So if they can trick you into thinking it's a pandemic, it will drive you to be more conformed to what they want. It'll drive you to be readily accepting of what they tell you to do. And it will also drive you to enforce on your neighbors. That's not a joke, by the way. I hope you'll read this article. I went over it in depth yesterday. The point in showing you this was to make my next point, was that interestingly enough, as I thought of yesterday, what they said is the researchers examined the effects of a bunch of things: malnutrition, warfare, famine, and they found out that only the threat of famine and viruses, pathogens, pandemics, correlate with the authoritarian governance concept, the idea they're talking about. But of course, it was pandemics to a far more severe degree. A little bit lesser was famine, and then the rest of them were barely even noticeable in regard to creating these things. Now, the reality of realizing that famine and pandemics are the two things that lead to exactly what they're trying to create, and then also realizing that these governments, those are their two go-to tools around the world. Creating famine in Yemen, and, you know, burning oil fields and attacking their infrastructure in Syria to make them starve. Starving out Venezuela, right? These are things that their go-to actions. Why? Because it drives them into positions that will make them conform. It'll make them do what they're told, so they don't care who's in charge. They just want it to end. That's sanctions. Now, pandemics, we've also seen manipulated and used. We've seen them use these kind of things from the beginning of this government. Okay, so keeping that in mind, that famine and pandemics are the two most important things that can be used, or that can naturally happen and then be used, to drive them to authoritarianism, to drive people to conformity. Well, guess what else is happening because of COVID-19? Famine of biblical proportions looms over humanity due to COVID-19, according to the UN. So what do you know? In the middle of the situation where people are being told they have to conform, told they have to comply, told that they have to tattletale on their neighbors for safety, of course. Well, guess what? We're in the middle of a pandemic and there's a massive worldwide famine. The two very things that in fact lead to exactly what they're trying to accomplish. But please call me a conspiracy theorist. I love it. It's incredible. There's a lot of things that I'm finding today that are just like, oh, I can't even believe that. Now, one other thing I wanted to point out before I get into foreign policy that I thought was really, really interesting. Fort Hood WMD specialist missing amid string of mysterious deaths and disappearances around the base. So let's not ignore the relevance of having a weapons of mass destruction specialist. So meaning somebody who works with biological manipulation missing. Just up and missing, no big deal, in the middle of the situation where it could be that it came from somewhere just like that. Sort of how people went missing around the anthrax scare and, you know, it turned out that it was the guy they tried to pin it on, but it wasn't really him. And, you know, maybe that's what we're staring at. As it says, the U.S. Army has asked for the public to help in finding the missing biochemical and nuclear specialist stationed at Fort Hood in Texas. Texas, of all places. The latest soldier to vanish in a spat of puzzling deaths and disappearances around the base. It's a 23-year-old sergeant, Elder Fernandez. He's reported missing. Now, it says the military has now called on the public for any information trying to find him. He says, quote, "We are very concerned about the welfare of this soldier. If someone out there has any information, let us know." Now, he's a chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear specialist assigned to the Sustainment Brigade of the 1st Cavalry Division of Fort Hood. Now, prior to disappearance, this is the sergeant filed an, and this is interesting to me, he filed The man filed an abusive sexual contact report, which usually indicates some kind of abuse, like somebody sexually abused him or raped him or something like that. Now it says, which, you know, would be the same, that would account for both. According to the Lieutenant Colonel Chris Brotgham, a public affairs officer at the base, now he said that Fernandez was transferred to a different unit following that report. You know, I mean, this brings to mind things like, you know, Few Good Men, you know, Code Reds and all that, right? I mean, we know this stuff happens, right? That you can't tattletale on people and it just goes over in the military. I mean, we even to this very day, we have examples, and that's what I'm going to get to next, of women in the military who will constantly tell you that they are abused, raped, molested by superiors and things, and then there's no accountability. And they just shut their mouths and keep going. That's horrifying. Now a Massachusetts state representative said that Fernandez's car was found with all of his belongings at the Fort Hood base, and that he had a recently signed a new lease and never picked up the key. So it clearly seems like there's foul play here. Now, his disappearance is only weeks after the military investigators identified the remains of Specialist Vanessa Gullion, 20 years old, who went missing from Fort Hood in April. Her case actually triggered widespread calls from lawmakers for an independent probe into specifically how the Army handled an investigation amid allegations that that soldier, guess what, was the victim of sexual harassment before her death. Right? So again, this may be somebody who's coming out and saying, hey, there's something bad's going on, and then she suddenly went missing. Right? And of course, we see that this is how this needs to happen, that lawmakers need to reach out to the base to say, you need to do something before something actually starts happening. Right? It's a conspiracy of silence, just like other places we're talking about, or police, or whatever else, where they will choose to not let these things out. Now, it says just 11 days after her remains were discovered, the woman, the 20-year-old, Army Private Mehor Morta, was found, quote, unresponsive, 15 miles from Fort Hood, dying of an unknown cause a short time later. I mean, why is this? This is incredible. This is all these disappearances and deaths, all tying back to Fort Hood, and not in the mainstream media, no one's even talking about this. Why? Well, because they don't want you to know about it. Now, the woman was the seventh soldier, to die under mysterious circumstances near the base just in 2020. Three from gunshot wounds. But yeah, nothing's going on there. The skeletal remains of Private Gregory Morales, 24-year-old, was also discovered off the base in mid-June. Foul play was suspected in his death. Though, little about the investigation was made public, it says. I wonder why. People being shot, buried, raped, shown up missing, and nothing's going on. Guys, there is a really, really bad thing going on with our military. I've seen this. Trust me, I talk to so many people that come out of the military or in the military, and these people I would say easily 80% of them will tell me something that makes my skin go white. And I'm not talking about overseas, or I mean, maybe sometimes overseas, same thing, where their superiors order them to rape somebody, or things that happened in Iraq that I can prove. There are people that whistleblowers have openly talked about. So my point is, this needs to be indicative or suggestive of the kind of people that they're enlisting to the military today. Because I argue that most intelligent people see what they are today. That they're not out there doing good. They're not spreading freedom and democracy. They're going around and they're imperialistically stomping on people's necks. And they're murdering people. And they're destroying countries. And they're destroying economies. That's what they're doing. I've talked to multiple people that fought in Afghanistan. I didn't come here to steal opium. I didn't come here to guard opium fields, right? That's what I hear. Now, it says Fort Hood was again thrust into the spotlight earlier this month after two soldiers stationed there and another at a base in San Antonio were arrested and charged, guess what, in a child prostitution ring in which the three men believed they were meeting aged girls aged 15 or 16 in a town close to them. A similar sting in 2017 led to child prostitution charges for 13 Fort Hood soldiers. Guys, what the hell is going on here? So you're literally telling me that two separate prostitution stings happened with underage women in Fort Hood and nothing? I mean, so they arrested the guys, but are we not realizing there's something wrong with Fort Hood? people disappearing, women being raped. I mean, this is incredible. And you won't hear about this. Why? Because this is not the image they want you to have in your mind about what this is. It's crazy to me. And if I had to take a shot in the dark, I would say this guy was maybe trying to do the right thing. Maybe he was trying to say something about it. Maybe he was trying to say, hey, you raped that woman, and they raped him too. He filed a sexual abuse report and then disappeared. I mean, I'm just pulling off the top of my head here, guys, but the bottom line is that there's something wrong here. And not only that, this guy was a biochemical nuclear specialist that went missing during a potentially bioengineered pandemic. Nothing to see here, guys. It's incredible. Now, this is in no way meant to reflect on people that join the military with good intentions that end up later finding out that they were deceived, which is usually what happens, or people that fight their way through it because they didn't realize they were into it, but still leave intact with their morals, which is really difficult to do. Or, by the way, Americans out there that realize that people that are there are not all necessarily bad. There are plenty of military, police, and any other situation where there are people that have no choice or simply just don't see it yet. We have to understand, guys, that there are a lot of people out there that just don't see it, which is incredible to me. But it's true, because they've been propagandized and socially engineered their entire lives. So we just need to see that, right? And then when you see guys like this up and disappear, ask yourself, maybe that's why. Cultivating a specific scenario, the same way, I mean, look at our police state today. The same way with politicians, for that matter, right? I've said this for years. The Ron Pauls of the world are very unique. And I'm surprised he even made it to the presidential election, but you saw what happened to him. They ignored him. They wouldn't give him the airtime. I mean, they made sure that he wouldn't win. But the point being is that most cases, those people don't even make it past the Capitol steps. And usually when they do, they end up, you know, having some kind of dangerous situation happen to them, or they quit because they were probably threatened or so on. Because people with morals, you know, people who aren't efficiently sociopathic, they just, you know, they won't let them in, or they chase them out. Now, finishing with some foreign policy, because this stuff is very important, and there's actually some really important things here that we need to get into. First of which, I added shocker at the end of the title today, and I didn't plan to leave it in, but I said, screw it, because it's incredible to me how clear this stuff is. The fact that the coup leader in Mali is trained by the United States military, it never ends. So were the people that got caught in Iran. They got caught in Haiti. They got caught in Venezuela. They got caught in, oh, maybe it's just coincidence. Or, you know, maybe they're training people to overthrow countries. You know, I don't know. I'm crazy, right? And another embarrassment for the U.S. training programs, and this gets actually pretty incredible, for international forces, this week's coup in Mali found itself linked to the program. Colonel Golta, the new director of Mali, dictator of Mali, graduated from a U.S. training course. Courses, by the way. So, again, we're talking about Belarus and Lebanon. And, I mean, we need to see that these are the people behind it. Now, this, you could argue that this is the U.S. government or whoever's controlling them or however you want to look at it. But the bottom line is that correlation's not causation. But if every single time you find an obvious tie back to the same people who trained them, well, maybe it's because they're literally training them to do that, right? I mean, that's just a basic deductive logic. That's basic deductive logic. So as we're staring at this, ask yourself whether or not this man got training and then took it upon himself to go and overthrow this country, or if that was the plan from the beginning and why they trained him. And by the way, look at the subtitle. The second straight Malian, I think it's Malian, right? Malian, Mali, coup with an American training link, right? So this is a goal for them. And also think about how interesting it is that they're training people for international forces, right? I mean, this is just another program used, like things like the NED and you know, these are these Trojan horses that they pretend are for good reasons, but are ultimately just back-end ways to get in and manipulate foreign countries and policies. Now it says that's a problem for the United States. And photos of Golta, this person that they trained, were featured heavily on U.S. military sites regarding the training operations. But guess what? The media is reporting that the photographs were just suddenly disappearing from when the news started to break. God, it's so pathetically obvious. Oh no, quick, hide all the pictures of that guy we just hired. Like, it's just, it's just so silly. But it says, Mali's last coup in 2012 saw the exact same thing, with Captain Amadou Sonogo having been through 6 training missions with the U.S. before he went on to carry out a coup in Mali. Now, the number of coup leaders, war criminals, and general bad actors in this training program has raised concerns with the Pentagon. Oh, gee, really? So the Pentagon is going, gee, I'm concerned that we've brought in criminals. I'm concerned with our program, right? I mean, that's silly. Are they concerned? Or are they just saying, we're concerned now that you're paying attention to our fraudulent criminal program? But it says it's too heavily focused on efficiency and fostering relationship with Western military bureaucracies without focus enough on respect for civilian governance and democracies. Yeah, you know, the very thing they swear up and down is the only thing they care about as they take direct action that counters specifically that. So stupid. I mean, it really is ridiculous, guys, as they're in the middle of a pandemic toppling countries because they're bad people. Here's Mike Pompeo making a fool of himself, like usual. Reading a statement from 2015, Pompeo contradicts himself. Sort of how when he was speaking on the news the other day, or I think a month ago, and basically said that, or basically agreed with the exact opposite of what he was saying. And then when she goes, wait a minute, you said that. And he goes, yeah, the other thing. Like, whatever I'm supposed to say, that's what I'm saying. Like, so bad. But it says, after making clear that only, this is in regard to Iran and the UN, which is really embarrassing for the U.S. government right now, only participant states can trigger a snapback. Well, of course. And only people that are actually involved in the deal are able to initiate parts of the deal. That's basic. But of course, the U.S. has been bending over backwards and doing gymnastics to try to make sense of how they somehow still have control over the deal that they just spent the last years and years pretending was a defunct deal that everybody should get away from, and they ran away from. And when nobody followed them, well, now they go, well, wait a minute, we still can control it, even though it's a bad deal and you shouldn't be there. It says, listen to his condescending laugh as he sabotages global conventions and aids starvation in millions of Iranians. Watch how he laughs as he embarrasses himself. And the second thing he says is that only participant states can trigger snapback, which the U.S. is no longer a participant state.
If Iran breaks these commitments, the United States...
Hold on, make sure it's loud enough for you guys.
Iran breaks these commitments, the United States can snap back both unilateral and UN sanctions. Okay. It's important to emphasize this. 2231 gave every one of the participant states the...
Oops. Right? He totally just made it. That was a mistake. And he knows it. Like, he just laughed. I mean, watch.
Right to execute snapback unconditionally. If Iran breaks these commitments, the United States can snap back both unilateral and UN sanctions.
So how in the world can the United States snap back on their own UN sanctions? I mean, especially when they're the only one putting sanctions unilaterally on other countries. I shouldn't say the only one, but in regard to where it matters in this conversation. And by the way, just so we're clear, I'm going to get into it next, that everybody's disagreed with this. That's why, I mean, this has to be really embarrassing for him, right? Because he used to just eat it up that everybody was on their side. And now at this point, everybody's disagreed with them. All of their, basically nobody has gone along with the fact that they all see what they're doing. I mean, I argue right now that half of these countries, even in a different situation, would have gone along with this. But because of COVID-19 or different politics or whatever, they're not. And they're saying that Trump and Pompeo can't do this. They can't unilaterally do this, that they're no longer part of the deal, and they know that.
It's important to emphasize this. 2231 gave every one of the participant states the right to execute snapback unconditionally.
Participant states, which they are no longer. I mean, I feel embarrassed. Like, for Americans, that kind of person stands up and represents us. He actually just stood up and said and laughed at them the thing that he, in his very next sentence, goes on to contradict. I mean, these people are just, they are everything that's dishonest about a government. Like, they are the quintessentially dishonest government. And as I can't help but point out, as The Guardian says, Iran sanctions, Trump threatens to unilaterally reimpose them, right? Because when everybody else said, hey, you're wrong and we don't agree, well, they do what honest governments do, and they stomp their feet and say, we're going to do it anyway, right? Why did you go to the UN then if you didn't care what they had to say, right? I mean, it's just so silly. They were going to do it no matter what, because it was always what they wanted. The UN, this is just the veneer of legitimacy, which is never really even there. But of course, as I said, come on, U.S. government, all we want is for you to act like a normal nation. Is that so hard? Right? You mean the very thing that they say to Iran? Right? Just like, okay, so the very action of countering what the UN decides is exactly what they've attacked these countries for. Exactly situations where they say, we just need them to act like a normal country. I guess that only applies one way, right? That's called a hypocrite. Well, here it is. They're threatening to impose UN measures unilaterally. That doesn't even make sense. The U.S. can't do it. You can't apply U.N. measures themselves. That's The Guardian trying to make it seem like there's some level of legitimacy there. They can't do that. They can't just apply U.N. measures. The U.N. has to agree, and nobody else agrees other than the United States. It's pretty simple, actually. Now, it says the U.S., and this is after all, this is as of the 20th, the U.S. officially acts to restore U.N. sanctions. Again, how does that even make sense? They're not U.N. sanctions. They're U.S. sanctions, specifically, and they're illegal. It says in a move that could complicate the P5 plus one nuclear deal with Iran, the U.S. is arguing that they are still part of the deal, despite withdrawing from it years ago. I mean, guys, this is clown shoe ridiculous, and is trying to reimpose snapback sanctions. All right, so we're out of the deal. You guys are dumb and shouldn't be in it. And then suddenly, when it's in their interest to be a part of the deal, we're in the deal and you can't stop us. As always, the truth is just a tool for them, truth or lies. Whatever, they will drop it and run the moment it's not in their interest and pick it back up again the moment that they can use it. It says the move intends to force the issue of Iran sanctions to the UN Security Council, where the U.S. believes that in vetoing any vote for sanctions relief, that they could de facto reimpose all sanctions in the way if no one could stop. This all rests on the U.S. interpretation, right? That's always what it is, of them still having authority under the deal that they long left ago left. They don't. That's something that several nations would seriously argue against, and they did. Right? That's what happened. Nobody is going along with this. To end that part of the story, that's what happened now. So now, basically, the UN and all of the others, even their allies, said, no, you can't do that. But they're going to do it anyway. So, that's how it seems. Trump and Pompeo are basically saying, we're going to do it anyway. Right? Because they're, you know, honest, hardworking governments that only valued liberty and freedom and democracy as they challenge and counter all of those things. But here is in regard to Iraq. Again, right in the middle of this, right in the middle of them losing this vote, looking really embarrassingly, like really showing how isolated they are, right in the middle of what's going on with Mali, right in the middle of what's going on with Belarus, right in the middle of what's going on with this failure of an action regard to the pandemic, and right as they're about to force a vaccine on you, well, she just spits out that, well, we're going to leave Iraq. Well, because that's what they do when they want you to be distracted. Remember the last time they were going to leave Iraq, or the last time before that, or the last time before that? How about the last time they were going to leave Afghanistan, or the one before that, or the one before that? Two of which were during Trump's administration. Guess what? We're still there. What about the time we were going to leave Syria, or before that, and before that? Three of which were Trump. We're still there. And guess what? There's more there than before. Right? Now we're stealing oil, we're burning wheat fields, you know, good freedom discussions and actions, helping people by destroying their food sources. But the point is that he's saying this, in my opinion, because it's just a way to get people talking about something else and a way for his supporters to go, see, I told you Trump would say we were leaving, right? How many times? I told you, look, he said we're leaving. He said we're leaving 1,000 times, but we don't. As I said, shortly, as he says, we're bringing them all home shortly. Shortly translates to, I want you to think I'm going to do this so it helps my reelection chances. And the moment it's not needed, we'll fake a rocket attack and I can act like my hands are tied. Just like every other time. Hashtag forever wars are bipartisan. Why would this happen now? I mean, the Iraqi government voted them out and they forcefully stayed. And now you're going to leave? Come on, guys. Do you really believe that? I hope he does. If he does, I'll cheer it on, but I don't think it's going to happen. On to Syria. Syria envoy telling you exactly what is happening. They're stealing their oil and gas from Syria. I've shown you two different verifications of trucks pulling out the oil from this location. Right now, they're stealing it. And now we're also finding out that Trump is using this. in multiple ways. In the same, by the way, we're also going to get into Venezuela next in the same way, that they are actually utilizing these things. In this case, it's being deals with the Kurds and being resold to Syrians, which are just aggressively benefiting the U.S. government. That's all it is. So it's robbery. They're pirates. They're stealing things from other countries as they illegally occupy them. Same as Israel. Now, it says Syrian representative Bashar al-Jafari in the UN has delivered remarks, this is to the Security Council, complaining the U.S. occupation forces are advancing efforts to steal their oil and gas through the deal reached with Crescent Delta Energy, which I believe is from Delaware, if I remember correctly. Right? So you should boycott them. Just like we have Israeli companies selling things using illegally occupied Palestinian land, and you should boycott them for doing something wrong. You should boycott Crescent Delta Energy. Make it a big deal. They are illegally profiting off of the death of people. They are profiting off a destruction of an economy and a destruction of an entire nation. Right? You have to realize these people are suffering. They use this stuff to cook, to clean, to do all kinds of things. But they're making a deal and selling and profiting American companies. And Trump has repeatedly said, take the oil, and we all keep, I guess, pretending that's not what's happening, even though we all equally know it's happening. That is the lying for our truth, right? That is the fact. We all know it. We all see it. But it's okay. Suddenly it goes from it's not happening to here now it's happening, but it's for a good reason. That's classic U.S. propaganda. That says the U.S. is planning to steal Syrian oil. Is non-controversial. As President Trump has made that position public for months. Exactly. Crescent Delta Energy is contracted to take the oil after Trump failed efforts to court larger companies. The deal is that any revenue going to Syria would be given to the Kurdish SDF, which is it's an extension of the U.S. government. They are being controlled and actively used by the U.S. government, despite the fact that they seemingly screw them over once a year. Now, it says Jafari noted that the UN, that the resources in question, after needed for reconstruction, I think that's a typo. Either way, they needed it for reconstruction after the war. But again, this is not in serious dispute, as they say. And many see taking the oil as in part meant to assure that Assad can't reconstruct if the war ends. And that's something the U.S. has maintained. Their goal now, after they've lost the war in Syria, which they very clearly have, is to maintain some semblance of occupation, continue to harry their forces, and make sure that they're just destabilized. So they can go on forever pointing to them and saying, see, that's what happens when you don't let us get what we want. Just like they're doing with Libya right now. Right? The liberated Libya, right? They liberated them from Gaddafi and then drove it into the ground, stole everything, splintered it out to whoever they wanted, allowed the terrorists they said they were fighting to take control and sell slaves, and yet just ignore it for a decade. And now suddenly, because other countries are diving in and taking what they want and there's oil and things changing hands, well, suddenly it's a discussion again. Is that what it looks like to liberate a country? Anybody? I mean, do we really pretend that they liberated Libya? I mean, they sure as hell destroyed it under the guise they were doing so, but did that happen? They lie to you guys. They lie to us in every possible way. They're making sure Syria does not regain its feet because it makes them look less bad, I guess. Think about how vindictive that is as they continue to claim they're fighting for the Syrian people. It's disgusting. Well, here's Turkish backed forces. Guess what? Cutting the water supply to a million Syrian people during the pandemic. None of this is jokes, guys. This is, I mean, just like what's happening in Israel. They control the water, they control the electricity. Technically, we're talking about occupied Palestine, which is all Israel. This is Turkey and their forces working with U.S. and their forces, actively stealing oil, actively burning wheat fields and their food, actively taking and cutting off their water supplies. Do you not? I mean, how can we pretend like this is anything other than everything they've done in every other country? The same thing happened in Yemen, in Venezuela, and it's happening in Syria. They're trying to do it anywhere. They're trying to starve them into submission. And now they're trying to, I guess, make them die of thirst into submission. It is obscene. And these are the people in NATO fighting for freedom. God, it makes my stomach turn. Right, again, don't forget, they're fighting for these people. They're fighting for the children, right? Oh, please think of the children as we cut off their water supply to stop the government, right? Totally makes sense. Just put your head back in the sand and put your mask on, right? Because these people fight for freedom. Don't you know that? It's disgusting. And of course, as it goes forward, and as the children start dying and starving and on and on and on, well, they'll pretend like that's Assad's fault, right? Because Assad didn't do what he was told, so that means, well, all the things that we do that hurt people is his. It's all on him now, right? Of course, that's what they say about Iran, right? If you want your people to eat, you better do what you're told. That's what Pompeo said himself. And his argument is, well, because they're not doing what we're telling them to do, that means they're starving their people. That is some real ridiculous U.S. government logic. Well, it gets worse, I guess, I mean, in a different way. Trump is using frozen Venezuelan funds to try for another regime change. Guess where? In Venezuela. So he's stealing from Venezuelan people. They're using their money to overthrow their government that they voted in because freedom? Love it. I love it. Over a year after the Trump administration seized Venezuelan funding as part of its effort for regime change under some flimsy guise that's, you know, I guess they claim it's narco trafficking, even though they've never proven any of that. Right? They don't need to prove anything. They just get to say things and do what they want. That's what democracies are all about, right? Funding for the regime change. Officials now say that they're going to tap into the money to try to fund the regime change. So they're going to take the money to fund the thing that they're trying to... It's farcical. Which, by the way, have failed over and over and over. There's been like 5 or 6 attempts to do something and ridiculously failed. The U.S. has been trying to enforce a regime change in Venezuela for over a year. Initially, this amounted just to the U.S. recognizing a change had happened. That's, you know, that ridiculous clown that's Guaido, who nobody cares about, who lives in some apartment probably somewhere and pretends like he's the president. That's got to be really embarrassing. And pushing the rest of the world to do the same. Between that and a failed coup, there were reports the administration was getting tired of not making progress. Yeah, because it looks really bad. $300 million in funds are frozen by the United States and are now going to be used against Venezuelans. That includes $20 million that will be used to send pandemic relief to Venezuela, right? So this is what will the rest be spent on remains to be seen. So I don't know if that says that they're taking that $20 million and using for regime change, or if they're taking the $300 million and $20 million of it's used for aid, which never really amounts to aid from the U.S. government, as they've already been caught. The aid they were trying to send through was trucks full of barbed wire and nonsense. They were trying to use the trucks as a ploy. They set them on fire and said that Maduro did. And we caught them throwing the Molotov cocktails, and the media went forward and ignored it. Right? Because that's what honest journalists do. They ignore it when they get called out. The administration has previously refused to rule out direct military intervention, but clearly, I think we see this coming if they ultimately fail out. Now, this is interesting. U.S. says Maduro is keeping hundreds of Americans hostage, and I think this is what's leading to that. This is their manufacturing of some kind of psyop or some kind of illusion to drive us into justifying action against Venezuela, or at least keep it open. The U.S. State Department is saying that Maduro is blocking U.S. citizens from leaving Venezuela. It says, quote, "We have made offers in the past that would allow U.S. citizens to leave, but were all rejected by Maduro and his cronies," according to the State Department. But surprise, surprise, they say something different. Of course, the State Department says the U.S. is currently exploring other options for getting Americans back to safety. Uh-oh, suddenly when you're talking about Americans that are held hostage and well, now you've got people, oh no, Americans are going to be angry. You've got to do something, Trump, and get our people back. And now it's going to justify military action. Of course, problem, reaction, solution. People are sheep today and will so easily be swayed into some very obviously illegal act because... oh, our patriotism and freedom, right? Just it's whatever emotional ploys we can use to get you all riled up. And then we're going to go over and murder Venezuelans and overthrow the country, destroy the economy, rob them blind and pretend like we saved everybody. Freedom! But exploring other options, which means basically they're threatening. We're thinking of ways to overthrow your country and using that as the justification. It says, though, without giving numbers of Americans, right? So we won't even tell you how many Americans are there, but trust us, Americans are there, because that's what works for us. Now, Caracas, of course, is disputing the claims, with Foreign Minister Jorge Reza stating on Thursday that the government has offered to return the American citizens with flights on their state-owned airline. And as far as I can tell, I've found that to be very accurate. They've repeatedly said, we'll return, they could have right now on these flights. But here's the interesting part. Those flights are under U.S. sanctions. So there's a little game being played here. Now, it says, ironically, the standoff appears centered on the fact that airline remains under far-reaching Venezuelan sanctions, which have been in effect for over the past year. So it's interesting how the U.S. has cornered themselves in a weird way, saying that, well, you can't use that one because we say you can't. But now if that they're saying, well, we'll let you take them here. They can go right now. And the U.S. is going, well, no, because that's not allowed. But so is that Maduro not allowing it, or is that the U.S. playing their ridiculous sanction game and either getting themselves trapped in a corner or using that as their ploy and pretending like it's their choice? No, that's the U.S. government saying, no, you can't use that airline, when he's going, here, take them. You can use it on the plane. And they're saying no. It's the same stupid backward logic as pretending that Iran is starving their own people because they're choosing not to do anything the U.S. says and the U.S. starves their people. Is that Iran starving their people, or is that the U.S. doing it and they're blaming Iran? Same thing. Now, a U.S. diplomat based in the neighboring Colombia, of course, you know, the country that exports 70% of the world's cocaine, but they pretend, and the U.S. is working with them, but they at the same time claim that Maduro is trafficking cocaine. No joke, by the way. That country, the neighboring Colombia, asked the U.S. diplomat, by the way, not even Colombia, but more American people, U.S. diplomat, alleged that Maduro was keeping the Americans hostage, he says. Hostage. As they've many times offered to let them come back on the state-owned airline. But that's not what they want. So they're picking and choosing. Now, James' story of the State Department's Venezuela Affairs, of their unit, gave indication last week that the standoff could involve up to 1,000 people or more. How much you want to bet it ends up being way, way less than that? Or if any. You know, the idea that they won't give us some kind of even close, I mean, 1,000 people or more? Are you literally telling me that there's 1,000 people that have been here this whole time? That have had airline tickets? That they've been ready to send home, but the U.S. won't let come home because they're on a state-owned airline? It says, quote, I have more than 800 people who have asked for my support. Well, they're offering to let them fly home, and you won't let them fly home. As the article points out, so it appears the repatriation issue is centered on Maduro government finding a creative way to leverage, to highlight how destructive the sanctioned regime is on the country in what's essentially a use our state-owned airline or else it's not our problem moment, which I completely agree with. I mean, the point is, I would argue that letting anything else happen would open an opportunity for the U.S. government to yet again do what it's continued to try to do. Sabotage what's going on. Send in weapons. Send in operatives. They've been caught over and over and over. So here is, and look, let's be clear about this. Maduro's government has offered more than once to use their airline. That's true. And the U.S. government is just saying no. So who is effectively stopping them from coming home? The U.S. government. I mean, just be clear about that. And I just find that to be insulting, as always, that they're allowing these people who want to come home to not be able to come home because they're using them as pawns in the game to make Maduro look like the bad guy. That's pretty sinister, I gotta say. Moving on to the next one, if Brave will allow me to go forward, U.S. is willing to dismantle the U.N. Security Council to put pressure on Iran. Oops, I that was a little out of order. I forgot I should have moved that one over. That was supposed to be the end point anyway. The fact that they're burning this to the ground in order just to put pressure on Iran. And don't you love, I'm going to save this one for future use. It's really this. I mean, these are the people that just went out without these things, not social distancing, not masking, not that they should. But the point is now they're doing this to make us, it's just, it was meant to pretend like there was a little bit of, you know, like Trump and them secretly know, wink, wink. But now they're doing it. It's the same as everything else. It's now suddenly Trump supporters too are doing it because they've been convinced and on and on and on. And it's just what we told you was going to happen. Conformity. Authoritarianism. Now on to end with the Israeli discussion, which I have to talk about. 10 consecutive nights, Israel has been shooting and bombing Gaza. Again and again and again. No one seems to want to talk about it. As I say in my tweet, the mainstream media, the U.S. government's silence on this is deafening. No other government in the world can aggressively attack civilian areas 10 days and nights straight, or 10 nights straight, and have the whole Western world act like it's not happening. I mean, really think about how crazy that is. And as I said, it's not racist to call out the obvious crimes of a government, no matter who or where they are. But that's what they want you to think. Like, by somehow saying, look, it's wrong that they're murdering people who are not allowed to leave, who are in an open-air prison, who the UN has it, right now, based on everything we've said, the UN, based on Geneva Conventions and everything else, they are in an occupation, which means they have the right to armed rebellion. The bottom line is, everything about what the Israeli government is doing is wrong. And they want you to believe that saying that somehow means that I'm talking about Jewish people. Right? I mean, that's literally their argument. That you can't say that because you're racist, you're anti-Semitic. Did I even mention that? I'm talking about the Israeli government and their overt war crimes. The same way I'm talking about the U.S. government and their overt war crimes. The government. Right? But see, this is a very weak ploy that's right in front of our eyes falling apart. Doesn't mean it's losing power, because they're still using it. But it's, I think a lot more people are beginning to see this ridiculous lie. That doesn't mean that there are not people that do use that, and you attack specifically an entire grouping of people because they think that they're all responsible for one thing or the other. I mean, there are people in this country that say that black people are responsible for all this and that, right? There are racist people. We all know that. That doesn't mean that calling out the crimes of a government makes you racist. That is simply stupid. Reductively ridiculous, like down to make it so simple and stupid that to in depth break down the facts and information of how this is happening and explain to you why this is wrong, right down to the UN, and then say that that's just racist because Jewish people is just ridiculous. And hopefully we can all see that, because guess what? Palestinians are dying. People are suffering. They're living in a place where they have absolutely no freedom. As the only government in the world that screams about freedom day in and day out supports this only government that is actively standing on that entire idea. Think about how ridiculous that is. But Israeli army strikes Hamas targets after rocket interception. Right. I actually have a clip in here I thought of one of these that I thought was really interesting I wanted to show you. I'm hoping that I had it in here. Yes, perfect. Okay, so here's the next one. Iron Dome, guess what? Intercepts rockets fired from Gaza. IDF tanks hit Hamas positions. Now, again, to be clear, I do believe that they have rockets, but I'm going to show you next that they have missiles, and I believe that is where we realize that they are actually fighting back and responding. But what's interesting is this video is what they're claiming, and when you read through this, by the way, big surprise, do you really need me to say it? When you actually find them? The story says, well, there was no damage and they hit fields and then the Iron Dome stopped it and blah, blah, blah. And as usual, there's when it gets a lot like this, well, they find that, oh, well, one piece ricocheted and slightly hit a little piece. Like they claim that a piece ricocheted off one of the rockets and hurt one of these houses. No hurt, no injury, no reports of injuries or damage. As always, how is it ever possible? You think that by mere chance they would hit something one time, or it's not actually happening. But what I argue is that those things that chip off and hit a house are actually the Iron Dome. But here's the point. Watch this. This is supposed to be, how many times have I said, by the way, let's reiterate the fact that the leading munitions expert in Israel has said on record that the Iron Dome is simply a big fireworks show. That they're lying to you. That they're not actually doing anything. That they use that as justification to carry out their act, which is, by the way, exactly what I say. Based on that and many other things. But that's coming from the leading munitions expert in Israel. Well, guess what? And the Iron Dome was caught live in action during a live broadcast, right? Like this wasn't entirely planned. Watch what this shows you. How much you follow the two things that fire from the Iron Dome. It'll start right there on the right. And you tell me what those two things hit. And or maybe tell me if it looks like they hit themselves. One, two, right there. I mean, like, the point is, if there were rockets or missiles flying, where's the other part of that? Where's the light and the streaming smoke or whatever else behind the rocket or missile that came from the other side? It's not there, guys. All we see is things firing from their side and just blowing up in the air. And in fact, seemingly kind of going towards each other and blowing up near each other. Like, it doesn't seem like there's not. There's not something else there. Even a rocket has some kind of propulsion. You, especially at night, would see it. It's just stupid. I mean, it's just, watch it again and you tell me that I'm crazy. And remember that I keep telling you that this has been called out by people in Israel. And all the way, by the way, the U.S. government is now buying these from Israel, even though we're paying for them to be built. There's no other rockets, there's nothing. So you're telling me, first of all, look at how far down it is. So somehow the Iron Dome all the way over here knew before they fired it, because look, realize that if they fired it, and it was all the way right down there by the horizon, that they would have had to fire the Iron Dome before they fired there. I mean, there's so many ways to see that this is fake. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not things happening. The point is that this is a show, because then after that, well, IDF tanks hit Hamas positions, or probably before, and that was the justification. Well, here's an interesting part. And again, realize that almost every single time, no damage, no injuries. Hit an open field. The joke I make is those open fields, the number one enemy of Palestinian rockets, right? Well, Hamas responds to Israeli strikes in Gaza. Now, this is interesting to me, right? Because this is on the record. This is Hamas actually responding and making a statement about it, which seems to me to suggest that that's an actual response. And here's what it says. The Palestinian resistance movement has said it's launched several missiles. Now, that could be Middle East Monitor's misinterpretation, or it could be Hamas saying it, what they were wrong. But the bottom line is, it seems that Hamas is actually responding. And it says missile, and this is after this, right? This is the 22nd. We're not talking about the time. These are the 21st. This is before that, right? We're going back. This is now, what, 11, 12 nights in a row? But they're firing missiles at Israel. This would have been, for the Friday night, it would have been between, I'm trying to think of the time difference. So like middle of the night for us, or for me, yesterday. Now it says, in response to Israeli strikes. Now in a press release, Hamas spokesman said that the movement had launched missiles to stop Israeli strikes. He says, quote, and this is what I find interesting, a quote from Hamas. They say, Hamas is ready to stop any Israeli aggression towards Palestinians. Israel must end its violations and stop the ongoing escalation and end the 14-year-old siege imposed on Gaza. Yeah, exactly. Finally, some reality coming out of there. Right, this isn't because Hamas said it, it's because that's what's going on. The UN, by the way, agrees with that. Right? But it's funny how the UN matters when they want it to, but then when they go against what they say, well, you're anti-Israel, right? But then at the same time, Israel will say, well, look at Syria, they're supposed to be doing what the UN says, as they overtly ignore UN. I mean, it's a joke. It is a joke. These people act with impunity. The Hamas spokesman blamed the Israeli occupation for ongoing tensions on the eastern border. He said the Israeli occupation will never succeed in breaking the will of the Palestinians. But the point is, it seems to suggest that they have fired missiles in response. And when they actually responded, they actually said, here we are responding. And not just, you know, I mean, this is what I think is happening, is Israel is just bombing them over and over and over and over. I wonder if even Gaza is aware that they're saying that they're firing rockets. All they see is attacks and bombing and their families being killed. And so finally, Hamas is being driven to respond. And I think it's interesting. I mean, they know that they're outmatched. They know they don't have the support. They know that big nations like the U.S. that scream about democracy and fighting for people like this will never step in and help them. So my point is, why would they ever respond with violence when they know all it's going to do is cause more violence? But at some point, when you've got 10 days straight of attacks, they have to do something, right? I mean, especially for the people who vote for them and who support them. Like, you argue they have to step up and act for them in some way, even if it's a show of force. I just find this to be incredibly revealing, personally. But at the end of the day, whether they're fighting back or not, as I keep trying to make clear, everything the Israeli government is doing is wrong. Even if everything they're saying about Hamas or the Palestinians are true, they're legally allowed an armed rebellion because they're being illegally occupied. No one can deny that. The only thing they argue is that they're simply not being illegally occupied, but the UN says otherwise. So there you go. Not that we should be blind listening to the UN, but the point is, it's true, because the history is very, very clear. The history of this from the Israeli government's mouth is rooted in lies. I mean, again, I've shown you on video. I can show it to you again. Golda Meir, one of the first prime ministers and the founders of Israel, openly saying, I was a Palestinian. Hey, they illegally took this land and ethnically cleansed it. That is the fact. So now we know that they are illegally occupied, meaning they have a right to armed rebellion. So the point being, as they're not allowed to leave the most densely populated area on the planet with mostly children, We have to see that no matter how you turn this, the Israeli government is breaking the law, and they're collectively punishing all these children and families that live in this area by closing down the crossings, by shutting down the fishing. There's nothing about this that's even remotely legal. And now, going forward, today, tomorrow, continuing, Israeli artillery shells to Hamas positions. They're just attacking and attacking and attacking and not letting it go. Oh, guess what? And while it's all happening, well, Pompeo and Kushner are on their way to deal with them, right? Because they're our best ally and we fight for them because they're only democracy in the Middle East, right? It's a joke. They're going right now to Israel to push peace deals. But realize that since the so-called peace deal, even with the UAE, that they bombed Gaza every single night since then. Despite the fact that the UAE used Palestine as their driving idea for why they did this. Clearly that wasn't the case. The UAE has been on this side of the U.S.-Israeli pact for a very long time. This is just a big show. That's all it is. But as Pompeo goes to Israel yet again, again, you just take a quick note of all the places he circles around. He goes to Israel way more than anywhere other place. I wonder why that is. And seemingly after he has these meetings, he comes back with marching orders almost every time. Kushner too, by the way. The deal of the century that they've already shown is a big flaming joke. It is all completely lies. Every single part of it. It's all the Palestinians' fault, right? That's what we're told. And of course, to end on something that happened right before I went live, there may have been some developments since, you know, while I've been on the show. Please feel free to chime in on the chat. But I have a feeling this is going to be very relevant. Israeli drone falls inside Lebanon. This was just before I went live. Hezbollah says they shot it down. Now realize, think about how this relates to other things that have happened. In fact, there was just a drone right before we got here. I think it was either before the big blast in Lebanon or after that Israel shot down. I think it was right before, actually. Israel shot down a drone, a Lebanese drone, right? So it's kind of like a tit for tat thing, possibly. But what's interesting, why I bring that up, is that this, despite being the same action that Israel just took, will be way more important. Because how dare you shoot down an Israeli drone, even as it's very clearly in your airspace. Sort of how when Iran shot down an American drone that was in their airspace, all they did was pretend like Iran did something wrong. Well, here we are again. And I can promise you that Israel, Netanyahu, will use this to push aggression against Iran. Right? They will use this against Lebanon. Well, and Iran, for that matter, because that's where it all boils down to. But I meant Lebanon. Because that's what this will be about. The blast, all this stuff. I mean, come on, guys. Look how quickly we went past that. The blast that I very, very clearly think was Israel's involvement. And probably the U.S. too. This was a sabotage act that was not just ammonium nitrate. Which, I mean, it takes basic research to see that that's not true. But we're past it already. Who cares, right? Lebanon's 9/11 just doesn't matter to the world, apparently. That was massive. Destroying their most important economic port. But who cares, right? Let's move forward and talk about the election. Freedom! Well, now Hezbollah claims they shot this down. This is going to drive more action. Just want to point that out. That we're probably going to see regime change in Lebanon. I mean, already happened, by the way. I already saw the entire government just up and resign the moment that Israel and the United States stepped in to bring aid. Makes perfect sense. It's crazy. But to end, actually, I had this up. That's what I had this up for, just to show you that did happen. But to end, seemingly unrelated note, but something I had to point out that somebody shared with me. I found this incredible. This is United States oil consumption from 1965 to 2019. Now, if you thought about this without looking, like if you just thought, okay, who uses the most oil in the world? I think the United States would be a pretty easy bet. But you wouldn't think it would be like as dramatically one-sided as it is. Now, there's places like China and India that have way more people. But take a look at the difference. So it's basically, this is, I believe it's based on barrels. Yeah, barrel. This is day T8. Well, just based on barrels. Basically, I think this is barrels by the day or by a certain period. But bottom line is, Check out the countries listed. Now, you're looking at it, 453, and by the way, green or up, it's down based on the year, up or down, right? 1,000, 200, 800, you know, 100, 200, 2,000. Most of these are the most are in the 2,000, 3,000s, right? Here's one for 14,000, right? China, 14,000. It's kind of a lot, right? So far, that's the most, way more than anybody else. Keep going, keep going. And then we get down to the United States. Now, I find this very, now they're down a whole bunch. And I find it really interesting to see the reflection on what this means. Especially seeing that overall, it seems that they apparently use more in regard to the base, actually the overall usage in general. But when you see this, as last, in 2018, it was up the same amount, now it's down. And I argue that has to do with a lot of things that have been happening. But nonetheless, I think the difference between the use is really revealing. Now, again, I think at the end of the day, when you realize all the wars that have been waged, you know, Iraq, Venezuela, I mean, the attempts in Venezuela, all these countries that are very clearly the leading oil producers in the world, we have to reflect on how, I don't think oil is the only point. In fact, it may not even be the most important point to them, but it matters. And you have to realize that when you become dependent on these things, it drives your political choices. So would they be willing to destroy countries for their own successful, to save themselves? Absolutely they would. Or would they do it just to make sure that they have a little bit extra? Yeah, I think they would. But as always, it's for you to decide for yourself. But I think where we are right now, I think it's pretty obvious that it's all coming down. That they are going to drive this whether or not you agree. They're going to force this on you whether or not you agree. Whether or not they even have the information to back up what they're saying. They've been building the idea that we just say things and you trust us for a while now. Intelligence says, right? So, you know, that's how it goes. You see that, right? I mean, they've been building this for years. We don't need to even show you intelligence anymore. We just need to point to intelligence, and then you go, well, it must be there or they wouldn't have said it. So same thing happening now. We don't need to see the science. They just tell us the science is there. And they go, oh, well, they said the science is there. You need to think past that. Realize that they've been lying to you for a very long time. And the people that want us to act like they're not now, just think about how, I mean, half this country hates Donald Trump, so it's easier for you to see that they're lying. The other half will refuse to see the reality of the fact that you're being deceived because you want to believe he's there. But just go back and see the people involved in the actions they've had. We've been lied to over and over and over. Just look at the administration thus far. Look at the lies about Bolivia, the coup in Bolivia they lied about, the overthrowing Venezuela they lied about, the Duma false flag they lied about, over and over and over. Just realize you're being lied to. Because if we don't, this is going to keep going. If you don't take it upon yourself to stand up for yourself and for everybody else, it'll only be a very short amount of time before this stuff is being forced down your throat or your arm. It's going to be knocking at your door. Now, I don't know. I really don't want to believe that's going to happen. I don't want to be alarmist, but I truly believe this is where we are. I believe we are on the precipice of where this is going. And I, for one, am doing everything I can, both on the film and out in my daily life. Every single day I go out. I just need your help. So stand up, because it's time. I love you all, as always. Be safe. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective?
If you do not have a mask, you cannot ride public transportation, sir.
My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Yeah. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right to freedom of religion. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's non-essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail, but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm. When liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on.
We cut off people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that. You didn't want to meet.
This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government. We're realizing that the fatality rate of this virus is in the ballpark of a bad seasonal influenza. Do not let your voices be silenced. We will see eventually that this government-imposed cure is going to be worse than the virus itself.
Stop, help man, this shit ain't right, bro.
But what's happening now is unemployment reaches 20 to 30 million people, is those folks are now becoming dependent on the government. And what government dependency causes is a larger, more tyrannical government.
Look, he ain't even do nothing.
We the people want to put our government back in its place. We want a small representative government, not a large tyrannical government. I'm here representing thousands of physicians around the country whose voices must be heard.
We've never seen where we quarantine the healthy, where you take those without disease and without symptoms and lock them in your home.
So you guys are asking me to leave the store for not wearing a mask when I have a medical condition, even though yours was pulled under your nose.
A note that says,
I don't have to bring a note, and yours isn't even on.
You can do whatever you want to do.
It's America, right?
Listen,
I cannot wear a mask.
Get out.
Do not let your voices be silenced.